12 pounds of dynamite, all set to blow.
Problem? You expert! Disarm!
Right. It's a class job. One mistake, it'll blow the crap out of this place. Literally.
Think what to do!
Now. The dynamite's connected to the timing device, which is connected to the switch, which I can't find, which is connected to the battery. I'll disconnect the battery.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
You wouldn't?
Who you?
Me, Max.
You smart.
That's my vehicle.
Disarm.
How much?
No trade. Do. Me order, me master, me run Barter Town.
Oh, sure, that's why you live in shit.
That's it, energy.
Call it what you like, still smells like shit to me.
Not shit, energy, no town. Be King Arab.
Sure, be fairy princess.
Embargo on.
Excuse me? What's up? Hi. Of these two, which would be good for me and
you know, if I was watching alone with a girl.
Yeah. There you go.
When Harry Met Sally, Could you maintain a rod and watch Billy Crystal at the same time?
Don't feel bad. No one can. The piano. I don't know. Full frontal on Harvey Keitel.
Not good.
No, that dude's 90% wiener.
Really?
Yeah, even on the small screen, that's going to hurt you. Here's your winner. Simon Birch. About a little goofy kid with problems. Can't go wrong. You look like a stud.
And, this is sexy. Good for the girl.
Yeah, works for me.
it's a plum.
You have a robot?
Hey, it's the Mulberry Boys. Hey, where'd they come from? Hey, everybody! Welcome to the show. It's time for Nowhere Mulberry, film, television, and pop culture here on a Friday night for everybody. We're talking about all this great stuff, and you are all welcome to stay and enjoy it with us. Thank you very much. I don't host this show alone. No, I do not. I do it with Steven, the pop culture zealot. How you doing, Steven?
I'm fantastic.
Awesome. A cold front moved in. No more heat. Hey.
I had to turn my heater on in the house today.
That's crazy, man.
I was like, wow.
You know what's funny is I actually had to have my AC worked on like on Monday. I was like, something blowing is cold. I know something's wrong. So I called the AC guy. It turns out it was low on Freon. And he was like, it's weird that this would happen now, not during the summertime. And I was like, I know. It's just like I noticed it. It's not even really hot outside. But we also have Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
Stressed.
Stressed.
No, Bill. What we should share with everyone is you were having internet speed issues, I guess.
Yeah. That's and crazy. I honestly think it's the Ethernet ports on my motherboard that are going bad. Like it's overheating or something. I don't know because it's real intermittent, real slow. But the netbook wireless is just fine.
Well, that's good. You know,
it's either the motherboard or the LAN ports on my router.
I was like really stressed out trying to get the show clips done, and I was like, Bill, could you help me with the Hell's Kitchen stuff? And then you did all that for me. Thank you. And then I was like, where's the break, Bill? It's like, I was working on the Hell's Kitchen stuff for you, bastard.
No, you know what? You sent me all those ideas the other day, and I bookmarked them. I was like, oh, I can do that at the last minute. But then my internet's all wonky, and I'm fighting with YouTube to get the clips done, and they'll cut out in the middle, and then I'll have to wait for it to finish downloading. And
sometimes, like, that's happened, like, when we're working on the show, and, you know, we get stuff off of YouTube. Like, I get stuff off of YouTube all the time for intros. Like, YouTube is in mono, like, left channel only. And I'm like, what the hell? Or it just won't load. And I'm like, this is screwing the show up.
No, it has mono.
Yes, that's right. Mononucleosis.
Nucleosis,
right?
Yes.
Be King Arab!
Huh? King Arab?
Okay. He has mononucleosis.
He's a little dude with a lot of problems, isn't he?
A little goofy kid with problems.
He's not a kid. He's a dwarf, right? That'd be funny. Hey, kid, what's your freaking problem? Me, no, kid. Me, master.
It's so funny. This week I was looking for all the movies that he's been in just so I can have like a Master Blaster film festival.
Think what to do.
I think I was in other movies. Someone saw his role in that. We're like, that guy's a good little actor.
Well, actually, he was in a lot of movies even before that.
Holy shit.
A little goofy kid with problems.
Well, I shouldn't say a lot, but...
He's a little child actor.
A fair amount.
He was a kid actor, right? Child actor?
I think he was actually in Todd Browning's Freaks.
I thought you were going to say Wizard of Oz.
No.
He was a munchkin. He's one of the Lollipop Guild, is what it turns out.
He's Quartet.
Oh, man, I love that guy.
You're smart.
Well, thank you. That's, very complimentary.
Yeah, it's nice whenever somebody realizes that they're not so smart, but can acknowledge someone else.
Yeah, he's a nice little guy.
Be King Arab!
All right, dude, we know you're an Arab, I guess. He doesn't look Arab at
all. He's Italian.
Now, Bill, I want to mention the Mulberry Book Club we always do at the top of the show. You and I both finish Wizard and Glass now, huh?
Yes, we did.
And I'm telling you, I'm ready to start talking about it, Bill.
So am I. God, what a great book.
It was. I mean, it really just all during the week, man, I was just sucked into that thing. Every waking moment I could, I'd read that, It's like, I learned that you know, if you have to go somewhere, you know, there's always waiting time somewhere. There's always time to pick up a book and read a few pages, you know, whether it be in on the freeway in the middle of traffic or, performing surgery, some kind of neurosurgery. You could have a book sitting there and reading. So I've been doing that, Bill.
Excellent. I hope you didn't nick anyone's important areas of the brain.
Well, that's the way Blaster turns out the way he does, actually.
Oh. You gave him Down syndrome?
Think what to do!
You gave him Down syndrome? Well, it's because I drink alcohol when I was pregnant with him is what happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wait. So it's unrelated, so I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, guys, I'm so into this gunslinger lore that I really want to read the short story, The Little Sisters of Illyria. And what I want to do is, Bill, we'll read that sometime before the next book, Wolves of the Kala, I think is what it's called, right?
Yeah, and Wolves of Kala.
And we'll do a bonus show of that. I have no idea how long the story is, how short it is, or anything, but I want to do a little bonus show where we just talk about that. So what I'm saying is, anyone who's finished Wizarding Glass and you haven't started on the next book, go ahead and read that short story. It's in the book called Everything's Eventual. It's one of those books of Stephen King short stories. Yeah. And it's a gunslinger story in there. I'm really excited about all this stuff. It's really cool.
I don't trust the length. Last time I heard, there was a short story. It was Low Men in Yellow Coats, and it was 400 pages.
I was like, "What? This thing keeps going." I thought it was in a short story. It's a book of short stories, and it's like one long one hidden inside is what it was.
Now, well, it's kind of like the Bachman books, you know, the four books in the one.
Right. You know. They're just big friggin' stories, right?
Yeah.
But that's really cool, though. At this point, Bill, I would say that you've really got me into reading in the time that I've known you. Because, like I said before, I'd read like a book every 6 months or maybe even a year. But now this is the most I've read in like forever, just book after book after book. And I don't feel like, I'm sick of reading books. It's nothing like that. It's like, I got to keep reading, I don't want to.
Yeah, once it bites you in the ass, you can't get rid of it.
And I don't want to slow down. Like, after I finished Wizarding Glass, I went back to my Cymac book the next day. Because that's a book of short stories, and I can just read a short story at a time and set it down and read my King book, then go back to it. So I can do.
Well, I've got
that.
Like this stack of books that I want to read on my desk. I've got the Eyes of the Dragon that you sent me for my birthday, which is awesome. I've got that same C-Mac short story book, Over the River and Through the Woods. I've got another one of his books called The Way Station. Another one called Mastodonia. There's a book by Pat Frank called Alas Babylon that I've wanted to read for ages.
Wow.
That's sitting here. And I have that one that Men Who Stare at Goats that's based on that movie with Clooney.
Nice.
Yeah,
but what I almost bought at the store, Bill? I didn't mean to cut you off there. Is
okay.
The Lovely Bones, that new Peter Jackson film that's coming out.
Yeah, that trailer looks incredible. And I just want to read that too.
And I still want to read Cormac McCarthy's The Road.
Oh my gosh, you haven't read that yet?
No, I haven't. So I got a lot of
that's
shit.
That's one
to
of
read.
Those books that you'll read in 2 days. You can't stop. It's written in this really interesting prose. It's not like your typical he said, she said sort of thing.
I don't know if it's correct, but I believe what I've read is that he doesn't use punctuation or something?
No,
or
he doesn't, not at all.
That's very interesting. I got to see that. So if I would have done that in English class, wouldn't I have gotten a failing grade?
Yes.
Yes.
Like, Cormac, you're a very interesting writer, and you're very talented, but where's the punctuation?
It's one long run-on sentence.
It's just like, I remember I did a term thing on E.E. Cummings in school, and I'll never forget I put a capital E.E. for Cummings. And there was a red circle around it that said he used lowercase e's for his name. And I was like, why should anyone else condone to that pretentious bastard, you know? It's like, no, I'm lowercase e's.
Well, guess what? I'm not E.E. Cummings.
Yeah,
I'm talking about him.
No, but it counted off my grade because that prick did that. What a jerk. But basically, Bill, what we're saying is we have a lot of books to read, right?
Oh, yeah. That's just one stack.
It's awesome.
My idea of cleaning is stacking. And I've got, like, on my desk, I've just got stacks of these books and movies. And it's absurd how much stuff I have that I just don't have the time
for. And you know
what's
funny? Are you like, certain days you're like, I don't want to do that. I could play some games. Don't want to do that either. Well, let me watch something. I don't feel like it. You know,
I'm totally there.
Just those blah days. That's when you turn on music and just crank it real loud and veg
out. It's been really blah lately because, you know, up in the, you know, central United States, northeast, it's starting to hit fall. So it's all the leaves are turning and it smells great. I love the smell of burning leaves and the wood and the, you know, the fires and fireplaces and such. But it is so dreary and dark and gloomy and just rainy and miserable lately. Oh, yeah. And I just don't feel like doing anything.
It's getting time for the reap, right?
It is time for the reap. I keep an eye out for the demon moon.
Yeah, I threw some stuffy guys on the fire recently and I burned them.
Oh, so you celebrated already?
Yeah, I do it early.
Did you abstain in that process?
Sure. From what?
Wasn't it that they had to abstain until reap night?
Oh, yeah, totally.
And then everybody went I'm sorry, everybody's going, what the hell are they talking about?
Hey, guys, we have a shitload of voicemail, huh? Voicemail out the wazoo. And our first voicemail was from a guy that I'll just describe as Sausage Guy. And I don't know what he's talking about, but he's really into sausage. So let's
see the Sausage King of Chicago.
Yes, he's Abe Froman. Hey, it's Abe Froman. Let's check it out.
Nowhere in Muddleberry. Hello, Muddleberry. Yeah, just wanted to let you guys know that we love your show at the office that we work at. There's three of us. Count it, one, two, three of us who listen to you at once, and that's a pretty big feat, I think, for Mulberry. Three people listening in one office. There was a fourth, but he had some issues. I just peed my pants. He had some big issues on certain things.
Okay.
And when people understand what the sausages can actually do, that honestly, I have to say, that to this day, if you guys remember that, I'm sure you do, was like my favorite thing ever. The sausages. I think it was all of our favorite thing. Those little things that you just interject. And I'm not part of the book club right now because I left work. We used to listen to Mulberry at work, or I did. I left work for like a year, and now I'm back because I was doing something else. I was pursuing some acting things. And you know what?
Cool.
I'd rather be making retainers and listen to you guys than act, just so you know. Love the sausages. There's really nothing else that you can do other than love the sausages. And the fact that you guys
sausage.
Need to start talking. I don't know, because I just started listening
patties,
to it.
Though,
I actually was listening to it. I'm like 15 minutes in. You guys are talking about the book club right now and whatnot. Got to start reviewing some Top Chef, okay? And maybe some Project Runway or something like that. Dollhouse.
Totally.
I haven't listened. I heard you guys make fun of it. I hope you do, because it's a terrible show. No matter what anyone thinks. So,
it's an awesome
thanks
show.
For doing what you guys do.
Good thing we agree. Otherwise, we'd have
York,
trouble.
And we love you. Sausages.
Well, thank you.
Sausages.
Sausage guy. Abe Froman, everybody.
I just peed my pants.
Yeah, we did an episode where
the sausage.
There we go.
Yeah. I assume that's what he's talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yes,
I don't
sausage.
Know the pee my pants thing. Somebody, it sounds like something I might say.
All right, we also have a voicemail from Sean. Let's check out what Sean has to say to us, everybody.
Hey, Mulberry. This is Sean out in Los Angeles. Just wanted to say I really enjoyed last week's show. Just like every other show you guys do, it's great. Keeps me awake at work, keeps me laughing at work. And right after I listened to your show, I went out and joined the forum, which I always meant to do, but it always, you know, somehow just fell out of my mind and I always forgot to do it. But since you guys mentioned it at the end of the episode, I figured it'd be a good time to do it. So I'm a member now and I hope to, you know, post a lot and chat with you guys and everyone else on the forums. And I just wanted to get your thoughts about, I don't know if you heard about the Predator reboot and who they cast as the lead. I read about it earlier this week. They casted Adrian Brody as the lead. Now, awesome. I don't have a problem with Adrian Brody. I think he's a good actor, but I read that he's playing like the badass lead role and they wanted like a Steve McQueen type. No offense to the guy, but I just don't see it. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one who feels that way. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he'll, you know, turn on the badass switch and just kick the living hell out of the Predator. And I don't know. Maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe he'll shock everyone and just be a total badass. But right now, I'm not really seeing it. But yeah, just I guess I'm just wondering just what you guys thought about that. But keep up the great work. Can't wait to listen to the next show. And you guys take care. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sean. I could see him doing Predator if he was doing, like, the same character from King Kong, kind of like the whoa guy running around, you know? He could do that.
Maybe his nose is a lethal weapon. Like, he's going to use that on the Predator. Or maybe he is the Predator.
But remember Danny Glover in Predator 2? He gave the Predator a run for his money, and he wasn't really a tough guy. His main power was just talking to himself as he was attacking the Predator.
Yeah, and then going, whoa, there's gangsters hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, they had King Willy in there, I believe. Is that what his name is?
They cast me as the Predator.
Nice.
I forgot to tell you.
There you go, Steven.
You know that guy, that Kevin Peter Hall, who's the big dude who played the Predator? And he played Harry and Harry and the Hendersons and stuff? You know, he died a long time ago. Did you guys know that? But the thing is that this is what doesn't make any sense, because he was obviously cast as the Predator because he was a big, tall dude. Mm-hmm. But I've also read, I don't know if you guys knew this, but Jean-Claude Van Damme also played the Predator in the same movie. So isn't he, like, really short? So I don't understand.
Really?
Yeah.
That's something Predator. I had no idea of.
Maybe he was just in certain shots.
He's
like
a distance.
Or, like, you know, just doing certain stunts. Like
maybe
jumping.
He was the one, like, jumping around and shit.
If there was that one part in the Predator where he does the splits on two barrels and his ass is just clenched. That was Jean-Claude.
That's,
I was like, it's because
I thought that ass looked familiar.
Yeah, because Arnold shot a taser into some water to shock him, but he goes and does the splits on some Sparklets bottles. It was awesome. What the hell am I talking?
Ugly mother.
Okay, guys, another voicemail. This one from Ken and his wife. Let's check this out. This is awesome.
Hey guys, this is Ken, Positively Ken on the forums. I just want to say I love the show. I don't get to comment on it as much as I'd like, but believe me, I'm downloading them, loving them, listening to them all the time. And I've got to say, the Day of the Robot stuff is hilarious. I got a chance to see an episode of Hell's Kitchen this week, and I never saw the show this season. I had a totally different image in my mind of what Dave would actually look like, like maybe RoboCop or something. Turns out he's a young guy. Anyway, that voice is just creepy. And something came to mind, totally off subject. Lately, there's been a bunch of movies about frightening family members, like Orphan and Stepfathers coming out. And I had an idea to round out the trilogy. Scary Uncle. And I think the best person to cast in that role would be Roman Polanski, for obvious reasons.
Yikes.
Anyway, just thought I'd pitch that at you. I want to take this time to introduce my wife, Azadeh, who I brought back to Canada from Iran. I'm very proud of her, love her very much, and she's got something she'd like to say to you too.
Hi guys, this is Azadeh, Ken's wife, and it was really fun to listen to that funny music. I laughed a lot with my husband.
Yeah, your karaoke singing from After the Show number 6.
Ken is one of your biggest fans, and I'm so proud of him and love him so much. And I have a message for you. Keep on great work.
Oh, thank
keep
you.
Up the great work.
Thank you so much for correcting, honey. Keep on the great work.
Okay, bye bye, guys.
Bye bye.
Thanks, Ken. That's awesome. I can't believe you played her that karaoke episode. Don't do that.
Oh, what a night!
That was awesome. Now, you know who I'd want to play in a What did he say? It was a scary uncle.
Scary uncle.
Scary uncle. Scary uncle.
You know what's
movie?
Funny is that's a maneuver they say.
That's what I was
most
thinking.
Extreme elimination challenge.
Yeah, I'm sure that's where he got it from because we used to always talk about the scary uncle. But I would get
Macho Gary
to
Macho
play
Gary as the scary uncle.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me! You are kidding me!
No, I'm not kidding you.
Kidding me?
I love Macho Gary.
I'm not sucking that up.
Exactly.
What?
I don't know what Gary's talking about, but thanks a lot, Ken. That was awesome. You know, one thing is all these voicemails, except for Sausage Guy, were homemade MP3 voicemails, Bill. How cool
awesome.
Is that? And anybody could do that by sending it to nimpodcast@gmail.com. All you do is record yourself on a mic and then email it to us as an attachment. It's very simple. And we've got one more voicemail, but technically this is a Rick Review's
Yay,
year one.
Oh, I didn't even get to watch it. Damn it.
Yeah, neither did I. But let's go ahead and check and see what Rick does. Maybe he'll tell us whether to watch it or not, huh? Whether to bother. This is what we need him for.
Yeah.
Whoa. Is he playing the bass right now?
I think so.
Slap that bass.
Hey, Noah Mulberry, it's Ricky. Just letting you know, I'm wearing my purple pimp coat during this voicemail.
Nice.
Sexy.
Is this stealing
all right,
bread
last
from
week's voicemail,
women?
I think Happy Rick kind of drowned in a bottle of vodka. So I'm blaming that on last week's voicemail. Yeah, it was pretty sad. Listening back was pretty hard. And I was like, oh, man, what's your problem? too much vodka, that was the problem. This week I'm not drinking, I'm having a dry month, just to prove to my wife I'm not an alcoholic.
Yeah. Oh no.
But Happy Rick is back, and I'm going to talk about year one, because I just finished watching it. Year one was like, you know, when you pick your nose right, and you're picking a real big one, it feels huge, but when you pull it out, it's not as big as you hoped it would be. It's just like this movie. It's a little bit disappointing, you know? Just like the disappointing booger. This is a disappointing
movie. I've been there.
Movie.
A disappointing booger.
And it doesn't make a lot of sense either. I don't know who wrote this crap. I don't even want to know who wrote it. But it just seems like most of the time they're just pointing it at Jack Black and Michael Cera and going, keep talking to each other until something funny happens. And then they just kind of wait, and then nothing happens, so they have to move on to something else. It's like a constant build-up to a joke that never hits, and it's kind of just like, I'm a retarded movie, come and watch me. No thanks, you're not very entertaining, Mr. Movie, you're retarded, okay? So I'm just going to sit in the corner and twiddle my thumbs, because that'll be a bit more interesting than watching this shit movie. This has to be another movie where I've had to force myself to watch it to the end. It's not an easy watch. Yeah, no. It's just a lot of cheap jokes. Oh, he's hanging upside down. Oh, I've got to do a pee now. Oh, it's coming down into my mouth and nose. Ha 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 ha.
Yikes.
There's pee on my face.
Pee pee humor.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not really interested. Sorry. However, I did actually laugh when he took a bite of the poo that he found on the ground. I think that was the only time I laughed, because I'm a big fan of poo jokes. I don't know why, but poo jokes
hey,
just
who
make
is
me
it,
giggle
right?
like
huh?
a little
Poo's
girl.
Poo's awesome.
And I was all up for a good laugh, you know. I liked Michael Cera in Superbad, and I liked Jack Black in other things he's done.
Yeah.
But they just didn't
Hit
gel together for me. Didn't kind of, you know, amount to much. So if someone says to you, hey, let's watch year one, you say no, and then you poke him in the eye really fast, several times if possible. All right, now here is a movie that I did like. It's called Tekken King Kret. It's a Japanese anime movie. It's a weird title. It's kind of Tekken, which is spelled different, and then King Kret. It's kind of weird and shit.
Tekken King Kret.
But it is a real, real awesome movie. It's from the dudes who did the Animatrix. And the back of it just, like, got me interested. It's like two street urchins fight against Yakuza and aliens and shit. And it's kind of funky and different. So
wait, monkeys?
Tekken King Crit. Funky, go have a look for it. Because that is a decent movie worth watching.
Cyborg,
you know,
monkeys.
You can tell some effort got put into that. Unlike Year One. God damn Year One. Anyway, Tekken King Crit. Check it out. That's good shit. This was Rick. Rick from Australia. I'm going to go eat some strawberries.
Strawberries. Rick, I got to say, your sound quality has improved so much, but there's this whining sound.
Yeah, what's that? It sounded like there was like a crying cat in the background the whole
Rick,
time.
For your next voicemail, I want you to just wrap yourself up in sheets and go stand in a closet with your mic. What do you say? Would that help me?
There you go.
Just like soundproof a closet and sit inside of it.
Something electronics beeping in the background.
Yeah, there's something. But that's okay because your voice has gotten so much better than, you know, you had the ambient mic or whatever you call it.
An omnidirectional mic?
Sure. Yeah, something like that. But Rick, thank you so much for the review. We know now not to see Year One until it's on pay cable,
just
right?
Just let it come on
HBO
yeah.
or something. Yeah. Then we'll watch it and go, it's not so bad. I didn't pay for it, right? At least that's the way
it feels. We can all laugh at the poo.
Yeah. Because, you know, basically I'd say 98% of all movies right now are just like, it's not that bad. Kind of, you know what I mean?
There's been nothing spectacular.
Yeah, nothing lately. Like, man, Year One blew me away. But
I'm just really tired of the whole, you know, neurotic type guy comedy.
Neurotic caveman.
Jesse Eisenberg. Yeah, neurotic caveman. And Michael Cera. Or
right.
Michael Cena, as I call him.
I think that Jesse Eisenberg can be very funny. You know, it's like, I would almost say it's hit and miss. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it just annoys you. You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, wait till you see Zombieland. It just annoys you.
I really want to see Zombieland, and I wanted to see it so bad last week, and I never got a chance to. And on that note, let's check out entertainment. What do you guys say, huh?
Let's do it.
Entertainment!
Think what to do!
Do entertainment, right? Now, this new show, Couples Retreat, new show.
New movie.
When I was a kid, we're going to go to the show, Steven.
We're going to go
Remember?
See the show.
People would say that, going to go to the show. Did you ever do that, Bill? Or your parents
yes.
did back in the day?
Yep, we're going to go to the show, and we'd go see Muppets Take Manhattan or something.
Sweet. And here's what we would do. We'd arrive in the middle of the movie and then wait till it started over. Catch up to the part we miss, and then leave in the middle of the movie.
Wow, that's bizarre.
It's usually with my aunt. She would do that. We would just show up without looking at show times, and it'd be like, I remember Mr. Mom, we showed up during the Rocky music montage part, watched the end of the movie, waited, saw the previews, all that, then the movie starts.
So that's like kind of like reading the end of the book and
right.
then going back
so
to the beginning?
So whenever I see Mr. Mom on TV and I watch that, I go, well, here's the part where we showed up. Here's the part where we also left during the next showing. But Bill, you just said that you got to see Zombieland, right? Is it a lot of fun? Wacky hijinks?
Sounds painful.
It's not painful. There are some genuinely funny moments, but it just tries too hard. Like, the Woody Harrelson character is so over the top. I think it's, what was it, Tallahassee, I think was his name.
He's from Tallahassee.
Yeah, everybody, he has a rule where you don't get to know people by their names, just by their locations, so that you don't get attached.
Oh, right, okay.
But it's just, it tries so hard that it's just like,
I just want to know this. If I go see this, will I have a lot of fun? You know? Is it going to be fun?
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun, but it's also boring, actually.
Is it going to be more entertaining than, say, a Resident Evil Extinction or something like that?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. There's some pretty good zombie effects and some nice kills. I think the best kills, though, are off camera.
Really?
Like, yeah, it's like there's one moment where they're in a in the supermarket, and Woody Harrelson decides to use some garden shears, and it cuts away. You don't see the kill. You kind of hear it, but then it cuts to the garden shears all bloody on the floor. Like, wait.
Maybe well, director's cut Blu-ray, maybe?
It's possible, yeah, but it's just, it's really, it's okay. It's not that good. I don't see why it's got such a high rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but I mean, it's enjoyable nonetheless. It's forgettable.
I think what this movie is, honestly, it's a go see it with a group of friends and just like be entertained and just scream and be scared shitless, you know?
And there's this kind of annoying fourth wall thing where throughout the entire movie it racks off this Columbus's, the Jesse Eisenberg character's rules of survival. And it's like the rules will just pop up on screen. Like,
oh, I've seen that on a clip where it's like fringe floating words.
Yeah, exactly. And it's throughout the movie like that.
Hmm, that's really a tricky device. You know?
Yeah, it's like he'll get into a situation. Yeah, it's just like it's really kind of tacky. And
so it gets old after a while.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
Okay, movie. Yeah, you're really proud of yourself.
A little goofy kid with problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say that I liked it. Enjoyable, but forgettable.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's what it seems like movies are today. And I was going to bring up, there's this other movie I keep reading about that I've meant to write down, but it's the the movie about the haunted ghosts and stuff. What is it called, Bill? Help me.
Paranormal Activity?
Yes, that's it.
It was like shot on camcorders.
Super low budget, but it's supposed to be scary as hell or something.
I'll tell you what, the marketing for this thing is incredible because it's this viral marketing that they're making it look like you have to earn it to get the movie in your area. There's all these petitions and everything. I can see right through it. You know, they're trying to make it look like something it's, you know, like this phenomenon.
Right.
And I'll probably eventually see it. But honestly, I can't stand commercials where they show audience reactions.
Yeah, or they're...
It's like, what... Why do I care how they react?
You mean
like,
where it has the night...
Go, oh, I need to see that! Wow!
The night vision camera of them going... Yeah.
Well, they did that with the witch movie.
Blair Witch Project?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do, I guess.
Yeah, and they're even comparing it to that.
You know, that's what's funny about when you read reviews. There's the people who go crazy, like, oh, this movie, that's great, whatever. And then after a week, you start to see this movie's not that great. Don't listen to what people, you know, so it's like, hey, who do I believe? I'm going to say that it's really cool that it's low budget and that they made this film on such a low budget and it's got genuine scares. And then maybe after that wears off, it's like, this is a cheap movie, you know? I don't know. But I'm really excited that I'm sure you'll talk about it in DVDs as the Sam Raimi Drag Me to Hell will finally come out on Blu-ray.
I can't wait to watch the unrated full director's cut of it.
So should I just watch that first since I've never seen the film?
Yeah, I don't think it'll make... I mean, the PG-13 version was pretty friggin' good, but... I can just imagine that the unrated version has even more grossness to it.
Will scare the shit out of me.
It will upset you, possibly disturb you.
Oh my god!
But there is one moment that will scare the shit out of you.
Big King Arab.
Yeah, that's the scene.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah. That little dude pops out of
Master
nowhere.
Pops out of the closet and starts flying around.
He's in politically incorrect Arab makeup.
He's flinging throwing pig shit.
He's riding on a baby camel.
Baby camel? why a baby camel?
Because it's little tiny.
Because it's small.
Because he's a little short little guy.
You're smart.
Oh, thank you. You know, it took a lot of deduction to come up with that, you know? Wow. I don't know what I'm talking about.
That was hilarious.
Guys, let's check out What's On at TiVo's, I guess. Yeah, let's go ahead. Awesome. got a lot of problems, guys.
My little goofy kid with problems.
That's my childhood right there, he's describing. Now, guys, let's just get right into our shows. Let's get into Tool Academy. Because I got to tell you, the first few minutes of Tool Academy had tears in my eyes. Not over sorrow, because I was laughing. Because it's so bad. It starts, for some reason, they have revelry, wakes them up in the morning. Isn't that?
I've never quite understood that.
And it shows their morning gas session, where they're all farting in bed or whatever. And Angry John describes his gas so well. Let's go and check this out. It's awesome.
Call that a dirty bomb where I'm from.
That was very much needed.
I think me and Big John are definitely, like, pulling the competition for the farts, you know? I think people are now betting on who's going to wake up and fart first in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Still, you smell like stale tomato juice.
Smells like a pile of babies in a bonfire.
Somebody light a match for this bitch, you don't blow anybody either.
Chemical warfare.
Report to the therapy room. Repeat, please report to the therapy room.
A pile of dead babies in a bonfire.
Where, you know, that just shows how mentally disturbed he is.
Oh, my God.
Who even thinks of that?
Bonfire.
I was like, that is freaking brilliant, man.
Oh, I call that a dirty bomb where I'm from.
Oh, dude.
Oh, man.
I like stale tomato juice.
What does that even mean? Stale tomato juice? That's actually probably good. It's better than it smelling like, you know.
Yeah.
It smells like
clamato.
Smells like clamato. It smells like rotten eggs mixed with clamato with some shrimp or something. It's like, oh, dude.
Like bad shrimp when they smell like iodine.
Oh, yeah. It smells like monkey blood up in here.
Monkey blood. Monkey blood mixed with rotten baby camel.
Up in her, it smells like monkey blood. Shit, clamato juice.
Smell like stale tomato juice.
Yeah, that's what he's describing. He just didn't find the right words. Monkey blood, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
You're smart.
Thank you. Tool Academy was so stupid this week because it was about maturity, Steven. It's about... Let's show the men. Let's put them in old makeup where they're very old looking. And it said like 60 years old. And they would walk in with walkers. Oh,
and they're like 110.
Yeah, it's like my dad's like 65. He can walk fine. And he's not got like a long ZZ Top beard. It's like,
well,
what
he's,
the?
Not, he's
dad,
not gray-headed.
My dad's 60 and he can't walk, but he doesn't look like that.
I think what they were doing is, like, it said 60 or 62 or 65, but they meant, like, 85 or 95 yeah. even or something.
Yeah.
Like, well, my grand...
It's like they took Big John and put, like, liver spots all over
yeah,
him.
Yeah, it's like, what, this guy's live near, like, Three Mile Island or something?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand.
The house is under power lines.
And they're all walking in like, oh, like they're all raggedy and they go 60 years old. And I'm like, what? What the hell's wrong with this guy? You get hit by a car or something? But here's the funniest part. One of the guys, he's like, you know, joking around because he's in his old makeup. And he's like, man, I don't want to dress like this when I'm older. And, you know, he's wearing an old sweater and stuff. And I thought it would have been more realistic if they kept them in their normal clothes and been old.
Yeah.
Because they're never going to change.
Age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this guy gets really deep. I just want you guys to hear this. This guy starts thinking about growing old, and it really makes him sad. Let's check this out.
In order for you and your girlfriend to grow old as a couple, you need to first mature as an individual. To help you act more mature,
cool. Okay.
I'm going to send you into the future.
Whoa.
With the help of professional makeup artists.
Got a time machine or something?
It was definitely messing with my head.
Bring
for sure.
In the
like,
DeLorean.
Just made me think like, wow, like I wonder how I really am going to age. How is my hair going to stay? Is my teeth going to fall out? You know what I mean? Am I going to lose my eyeball?
Come on in,
is
friend.
My grammar going to
come and join us.
Is my grammar
what
going
do you think, Christina? Do you find him attractive?
Frank looked like a creepy old pedophile, disgusting, like just ew, like.
Actually,
I hope against
like
anything
now.
That Frank's
yeah.
not really going to age that
pedophile.
Way. So how does it feel to be
okay,
so old?
This gets
I can't even
grasp the concept, you know, like of getting this old and looking this way.
So getting a little bit more seriously about it, this is really addressing some of the things that really did affect you.
Yeah, it sucks because I can work out in the gym all I want. I can sit there and diet. I can try my best, but I can't stop this process. No one can.
Oh, some deep shit, man.
Wow. Wow, really?
Someone revoked that lady's license.
Smells like a pile of babies in a bonfire.
Yeah.
We're never going to stop aging, are we, Jason?
It's like I try, but I'm just sitting here right now, and I just age, boom, right there. I aged a second.
Oh, my God, one of my pubes turned gray. I saw it right there in front of me.
You know, I'm really sad because our favorite guy, Angry John, was eliminated in this episode. Because
oh, he was? I didn't get to watch all of it.
He comes out there and he's like, his girlfriend is like, I'm really proud of him because he's changed a lot and he's been less aggressive. And he lifts up his arm and she goes, what the hell is that? And he's got like all this scarring and scabs. He goes, well, I kind of lost it. Those guys? I wanted to kick their ass. So I got tackled on the ground. She's like, damn it. He's like, I promise not to do anything like that again. I'm going to try to just keep my temper at bay, and I really want to try to change. She's like, well, that's good.
He didn't say it,
that's
bay.
That's very mature. That's very mature of you. The next morning, it shows there's ants going down the wall. I don't know why, but there's ants on his bed. And he's like,
oh, I saw this part.
And he's like, picks up the bed and, like, tips it over, just dumps it over.
Big John ate ants.
And the dude's like,
Hulk squash he's ants.
Like, he's like, he said he wasn't going to do that anymore, and he just did it. He's like, oh,
ants not nice to Big John.
You know, I gotta admit, though, that if I had ants on me when I woke up, I'd be pretty annoyed. I'd probably wake up one, get him off me!
Yeah. I'd be in the shower with Clorox.
Oh my god. Yeah, he didn't.
Or do
like
that.
Chemical warfare.
That's what he should have done, is started farting on the ants. That would have killed him instantly, probably.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Smell like stale tomato juice.
Stale tomato juice.
Ants hate stale tomato juice.
That works for skunk. Dude, a skunk, he sprayed me. Hold up.
Big King Arab.
I don't know what you're talking about, okay? Okay, well,
I don't even think he knew what he was talking about.
You know, they did another thing on this episode where they did their little contest where they were running back and forth, carrying eggs. And one girl got out of breath. She's like, I can't breathe. I can't catch my breath. And they go, call a medic, call a medic. And they show the woo, like an ambulance. And I was like, well, I guess all these reality shows have to.
All I knew is I was busy looking at her freaking boobs.
Well,
the suckers were magnificent.
They were just like, boom.
Behaving boobs.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. Like, she was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And her boyfriend goes, why? Don't be sorry. And then they showed the English lady watching on a monitor where it's like superimposed. She's not really. I'm really proud of him for not blaming this on her. You know, it's like, shut up.
She should have went, honey, your boobs look great right now.
Those look magnificent.
I don't really care if you can't breathe, but man, those suckers are
it's
great.
It's kind of sexy how you can't catch your breath because it's like heaving and they're just moving up and down. I really can't breathe. It's like, it's so.
Keep running. Over.
All right, well, let's talk about Hell's Kitchen, huh? Because, Bill, I remember, like, what episode, I'm going to ask Ross or Adam, what episode of Nowhere Mulberry did we talk about little Gordon Ramsay? It had to have been, like, 2 years ago, am I right? Something like
that? Yeah, because we found those clips online.
Right. And
where he's like berating his mother because he didn't like his packed lunch.
Right. And then they were in a restaurant and it took him a long time to sit down. So he talked to management. But, you know, we read like, I don't know, 6 months ago that little Gordon Ramsay will appear on Hell's Kitchen. And wasn't it like, I don't know, 3 months ago? I was like, whatever happened to that dude? I thought he was going to be on Hell's Kitchen. I thought it would have been last season or something.
I think it's just how long they take production. It's forever.
So when he showed up on here, I was like, awesome. And he didn't have much of a role, did he?
No.
But let's go.
No, and it's really, really bad editing.
Right. Because, oh, did you like how his shadow's going back and forth in Gordon Ramsay's office? He's like, I've had enough of this. And then he comes out and they're like, it's a little dude. It's like, what?
I can't believe that Gordon Ramsay even goes along with that.
What to do?
Oh, yeah. That would have been awesome.
It's Master! Master Blaster!
With a Gordon Ramsay wig on?
No, that would have been great if it was Master dressed like Gordon Ramsay, but then Gordon Ramsay is giving him the piggyback ride. A big guy giving a little guy a piggyback.
Gordon's got that big metal helmet on.
Who run Hell's Kitchen? Master Gordon. I got nothing. But anyway, here's the best part. They tell them to prepare a vegetarian meal. Prepare a vegetarian meal. We all know as chefs that vegetarians are pains in the ass, right? Because they like to make food that tastes good with protein and all that kind of stuff. With a meat, fish, yeah. Whatever.
An actual meal.
So what happens here is hilarious. This is why I love Hell's Kitchen for the ridiculous sound effects. When the kids start running in, did you hear the friggin' avalanche sound? The
yeah.
As the stampede. Let's go and check this out. And I got to say that I was really concerned at certain parts in this episode with Dave the Robot. Like, he had some dramatic moments, didn't he?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to get eliminated. But let's go ahead and check out this part of the show. It's awesome.
Dude, you are very talented. You f***ed up tonight. You admitted to it.
Right. You know, I'm happy to be in the final
Correct,
four, but
Dave,
I would have liked
robot.
To have gotten here because I kicked ass, not because I just dodged a bullet. Because I was on the chopping block, I have to prove myself. Four people. Am I the only one? Like, what the
f***? Creme de la creme, you know? We're like
No, I'm wondering why
four.
You're there, too.
I know everybody's weakness, man. I mean, Ariel, you better buckle down. Anil,
right, listen,
you better
Ken,
get consistent.
He's got this shit in the bag,
Dave,
man.
He's got one arm, so he
one
can't
arm.
Do certain things.
He's got one arm.
And he's a robot.
Figures out my
he's
weakness.
Cyborg.
My weakness is I can't pronounce Oz.
This kid comes out of the office, and he is the cutest mini-me version of Chef Ramsay. Unbelievable. That kid was cute.
What is everyone smiling at? Last night's dinner service was nothing but disaster. You're all a bunch of donkeys. Dave, I don't know how you do it with one arm. Bloody hell, if you were a horse, we'd have shot you by now. Unbelievable. Are you ready for today?
Yes,
Chef. I said, are you ready for today?
Yes, Chef.
Okay, guys, last 5 minutes.
Whoa.
Any second now, our guests are going to be arriving. Let's go.
As the clock ticks down,
right, listen to
none
this.
Of the chefs
friggin'
have completed
stampede.
80 portions of their dish.
Right, gather what you've got, because I cannot keep these guests waiting. And by the way...
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, the whole building is coming down.
Holy shit.
Holy cow. I'm screwed, man.
This is my worst nightmare. I do not work well with children.
80 of your toughest critics so far.
I am abusive towards children.
Robot Dave does not work well with children.
As I'm going along, I'm just throwing the stuff on the plate like the old gray-haired cafeteria lady.
We want food! We want food!
I've got food! The kids were chanting,
where did they get the drums?
Food. And I was like, I've got food! But... you're not gonna like it.
We want
sandwiches? Come on, kids! I know you guys like sandwiches. There you go, buddy. I tried to use the word sandwich just to maybe hope the kids would like it. Who wants a sandwich?
Oh, there we go.
From the one-armed bandit. That's my name. I tried any angle I could get.
My name is Dave the Robot. Like
He's a robot! That would have been cool if the kids were doing that. They were like, oh my.
He's not allowed to listen to media, so he can't listen to our show, so he doesn't know we're calling him Dave the Robot.
It's like, he's a cyborg. Oh, my God.
I have a six-year-old kid going, it's a cyborg!
You know what was funny is Tennille won that thing with her meal, but it was funny because Gordon Ramsay goes, they liked two meals the best. It was Dave's and Tennille's. And he goes, and the winner is, and you hear that, but they showed a kid, like, banging his head on the back of the chair.
Yeah, that did make me laugh.
It's like each hit of his head was making that sound.
That was genius editing right there.
That was really funny.
I had to rewind it. I was laughing so hard.
What?
Like, so that's where all that sound comes from. Some little brat in the corner banging his head off the wall.
How great was Tennille's makeover, Steven, huh?
Mm.
Hey, it's like...
Did it look like what she looked like when she first showed up on set, you know? She showed up wearing a vest, a tie, and that shirt, and black pants.
I thought they would try to do something with those, like, worms hanging off her head.
Like, they put them up in a little, you know, thing or whatever.
Well, it's funny. The guy, like put them up, but kind of, like, interweaved them and stuff. And I thought maybe they would try to, like, let them out or use a relaxer. I don't know.
Wash it out.
I don't know. But Gordon Ramsay's like, you look great. It's such a transformation.
Oh, I can't believe you have makeup on.
I don't ever get to put makeup on.
she totally had the whole Whoopi Goldberg thing going, too.
Like
my kicks. Look at my kicks.
She looked like Whoopi Goldberg in Jumpin' Jack Flash.
She did.
The kids would like it.
What was with Dave picking up candy off the floor?
I was looking for Price to pop out.
Did you guys wonder that?
All the kids dropped a lot of candy.
Yeah, Dave
out of their
was
bag.
Scooping up all the candy
He's
off
a
the floor.
That was awesome. Dave cracks me up. He's like, "Man, I know this is probably a scumbag move, but it's free candy.
My whole life depends on this.
In my off hours, I am a gumball machine."
Yeah,
that's like a scumbag move.
He inherited it from his mom, the gumball machine.
I love that. And, you know,
my
I like
head
how
intersperses with a clear bulb.
When Gordon's like, "I don't know about you, Dave. Should I keep you around?" He's like, "Chef, please. You know, if you're going to get rid of me because I'm a crappy chef, not because of my wrist, I can do it." He's like, "All right." Did you think that was mean? Like, they get rid of Tennille and then
that
later
was overly dramatic.
Yeah.
Then they calls him back down and he goes, "I'm starting to wonder, did I make the wrong decision?" It's like, you're an asshole.
I'm not going to show any weakness.
Good, Dave. Now, but what
you will never find my power cord.
I agree that Kevin is probably a decent chef. He hasn't really messed up a lot. But what is with his cockiness all of a sudden?
Well, it's not just the cockiness. It's like he's playing it like it's Survivor. Like, dude, stop. It's if you're good enough to win it, then just do that. Why do you have to sit there and go, "Oh, well, you know, you don't have to. You should really quit, Dave. You shouldn't be here."
Yeah, and he's like, "I know all their weaknesses. They don't know my weakness. That gives me an advantage."
Yeah, weakness is you're a douchebag.
Yeah.
"You are very talented."
Thanks. Tennille, when she got eliminated and she was crying, did you want to give her a hug, Steven?
No. I was thankful that voice was gone.
That loud voice!
Aww. Steven had a crucifix up in front of him.
Poor Tennille.
Away, be gone!
I had my little Tennille voodoo doll.
Oh! What just happened?
Ah, you're eliminated.
You got knocked the F out!
All right, guys, let's talk about heroes and then take a break. Because,
you know what? I got to bring this up. I forgot to send it to you, but it just cracked me up. We had somebody mention in the forum about the whole road rules, real world challenge things they do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this week I was watching it just, I don't know why. I was flipping through and I saw it and I was like, oh, why don't I check it out? They're doing this competition where this girl falls like 20 feet into the water. And when she hits, she starts screaming and she popped one of her implants.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they had to take... She's, like, crying in the ambulance. And they took her to the hospital.
Was it, like, saline or something?
I would assume it's saline. But she's like, "I just felt something pop, and it got all hot." And I was like, finally, someone on one of these reality shows pops an implant.
Wow.
I've been waiting for it forever, and I finally got to see it. These women get these implants that are just absurdly, ridiculously huge. For no reason, and finally, someone pops one of them.
Holy crap.
Think! What to do?
Yeah, I'll have to post the link on the forum.
Yeah, I've watched those shows in the past. Usually they're pretty funny because, you know, they do the competitions, but in between that, they all get just wasted drunk every night, and they get in fist fights and stuff. That's the best part to watch.
They've made a career out of being a former...
Yeah, it's really sad.
Yeah.
Like, they're all like, "I don't want to get a job, so I'm going to keep going on the show."
And they're just getting nobody. So, you know,
I was
MTV
on the third season
pay.
Of Real World.
Yeah.
Third season?
There's that one guy, The Miz. How long ago was he on there? You know, and
what about, was Puck on any of those?
Yeah, he was for a while.
Puck is like, there was a friggin', I don't know, he's got to be close to 50 now.
He's in his 50s or something.
Wow.
Is he still riding his,
I have no idea.
He's riding his bike all over Salt Lake City somewhere.
Yeah, awesome.
You know what's funny is I still remember the first Real World. Like the one with the cute dancer from the South and the militant black guy and all.
I didn't have MTV at that time. It's pretty sad story, really.
I think I stopped watching around the Seattle one.
All right, guys, let's talk about Heroes briefly. It was really boring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nathan,
excessively boring.
Well, you know, let's take, for instance, this scene where Nathan shows up to talk to Peter to show him that he has these miraculous powers all of a sudden. Peter's like, oh, okay. And, you know, he's like, all of a sudden there's this subplot with this girl he used to know. He remembers her floating in a pool all bloody. What the hell happened? And it's just like, who gives a shit, right?
Yeah.
Let's check it out. It's awesome.
Hey. I left you three messages.
I'm so sorry, man. I'm so sorry. I've been slammed. Are you okay?
I'm going to catch a few Z's right here.
Can't wait.
5 minutes.
I called you three effing times.
His powers.
Whoa. When did that start happening?
A couple days ago. I'm like a Swiss Army knife with superpowers now. It's a new power every day.
I guess it runs in the family.
Yeah, but there's something else.
Well, no suspicion there.
I'm seeing things, Peter. Memories. Oh. Images.
It's probably
memories,
nothing.
But
I got
not my
shit
memories.
To do.
Maybe it's called
exactly.
A memory?
I touch something and it's freaking me out.
I've read about this. It's called psychometrics.
Oh,
has something
whoa,
to do with
some big brain on Peter.
Where it's been, what it's experienced.
So what I'm seeing, it's real,
possibly.
So what
I don't
this
know
soul
why.
Shaker
what
experienced?
When I used to exercise a lot, I would eat those psychometric bars.
Or after ran away and broke
did
your
you get
heart.
The chocolate with peanut butter? One?
And she ran away, Pete.
But when I was eating it, I could see how they made it, like in my mind, and it was kind of gross. You'd see the bugs that fell into the machines and stuff.
Rat droppings.
Ugh.
In the pool. I know all this must sound.
Yeah, it sounds boring.
She was dead.
Oh, really?
There was blood everywhere.
Who?
Maybe it was a bottle of ketchup you dropped in the pool. You ever think of that?
Oh, no. Yeah, but what I'm seeing is
maybe,
real.
You know, it was that time of the month.
What'd you do?
Go by the house. I mean, her mother still lives there, right?
Really? Yeah.
Okay.
The best part about all this is that, you know, we know it's not really Nathan, it's Siler or whatever with Nathan's brain or whatever, his mind. But when he goes to Swoozy Kurtz to talk to her about her missing daughter for years, and she's like, you know, it's like, first of all, you know, dude, her daughter's been missing for years and you're going to bring that up. But when he goes and talks to his mom and she's like, yeah, she slipped on the diving board, so we covered it up, made it look like she flew to Europe and never came home. So he goes to tell Swoozy Kurtz that, like, I'm really sorry, I think I had something to do with it, so yeah, see you later. So then later on, this guy hits him over the head, drives him out, digs a grave, throws Nathan's body in it, then shoots him. Then buries him. Then he calls Swoozy Kurtz and he's like, it's done.
No.
And it's while she's eating dinner with Angela Petrelli. And Angela Petrelli's like, is everything okay? She goes, everything's fine. And folds up her little phone. Oh, wow. But then
Swoozy Kurtz, the Basset Hound actress.
Well, then at the very end, Bill, there's like his hand pops out of the grave and he creeps up and it's Siler. Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I bet you're tuning in next week, aren't you, Bill?
And then there was all that dirt in his eyebrows.
Well, yeah, those things will, like, suck that stuff up.
Suckers are like brooms.
That's what I was going to say.
He's got two caterpillars.
He looked like a big push broom.
You
can put him on his head and use him as a Swiffer.
You know, I laughed at some of the hero stuff, the guy who kept photocopying his butt.
Yeah, that was amusing. Like, how many times, no matter what he did, he always did it.
The guy was like, I have photocopied my body. He's like, what? I thought I stopped you from doing that. You just keep doing it somewhere else. If you know, he kept going in time and stopping the guy from photocopying his butt because he would get fired and shame his family, then commit suicide. So Hero would try it again, and he would come back, and the guy was still on the ledge. He's like, why are you killing yourself? He was like, I have photocopied my butt. And he's like, when? That was kind of silly. And there's the whole
So you have thing to kill yourself if you photocopy your butt?
Well, it's like because he gets
well,
fired.
In Japan, he dishonored his family.
Dishonored his family, so he commits suicide. But there's also the Nikki stuff where she wants to go work for Bruce Boxleitner again, but she wants to make a difference, Bill. She doesn't want to just be his...
She just doesn't want to be his...
mistress.
Yes, his...
Where she
his,
just sleeps with him, basically. She wants to really make a difference, like pass policies and stuff.
I really want to make a difference.
I mean, I don't know what's going on there. I saw that Brian Fuller wrote this episode, too. Did you see that?
He wrote it?
Yeah, it must have been his last episode.
Holy crap, dude.
So, whatever. Let's take a break, guys. I'm tired.
Makes my head hurt thinking about
you. What, you're not all energized by the fact that for some reason they turned an accident into a murder mystery?
No.
I'm just, whoa. I was just sitting there going, what... Okay, this could have been solved really easily.
And they did solve the murder mystery. She slipped and hit her head.
Yeah. And now all of a sudden it's, well, let's hide it.
It's like Bad Ronald. They could have just said it was an accident and everything.
Yeah.
You know,
they just pushed her into a cinder block.
In fact, when she falls into the pool and there's blood coming out of her head, he's like, oh my God. And he just stands there. It's like, pull her out of the water, check, call an ambulance. But it's just like, oh shit. Oh, I better get the hell out of here.
I bet she dies.
Yeah, I better get out of here, man. This shit's crazy.
A little goofy kid with problems.
Yeah, exactly. So, guys, let's take a break, and we'll be right back. What do you say?
Oh, that dirty bomb worm.
Everybody's playing Time Warp. This game is just weird.
Hey, I like this game, all right?
Now, this is hip. Well, it's different.
Sure is. Some people just gotta be different. And why not? You know, be original. Like Big Red. There's nothing else like it. It tastes great. And there's a lot to be said for being different. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Honey, honey, honey. Little bit of honey. It's a honey, nutty, honey of a candy bar. I love the taste of honey. And those nuts, they drive me nutty. And the honey, nutty flavor lasts a long, long time. Honey, honey, honey. Bit of honey. It's a honey, nutty, honey of a candy bar.
I'm moving my feet for a taste of meat. The Kellogg's Pop Tart Cherry. Pop, 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 pop.
Wait, the Mastic Fish is designed to refresh me. Mom! Can I have some Sunny Delight?
Sure, Billy.
Can Bear have some too?
Yeah.
Nothing else delights you like Sunny Delight.
How to ride a Honda scooter.
First, select shirt pant combo.
We suggest this or this.
Next, select appropriate shoes.
We suggest two.
Then choose a scooter that best expresses your individuality. There are many sizes and colors.
And always wear your helmet.
Honda scooters. They're everything but ordinary.
Thank goodness for Chef Boyardee, a good hot meal.
Gotta have some good stuff, hot stuff for Chef Boyardee. I want hot stuff.
There is a real request in your way. Hop out a monster for breakfast today.
Wanna hang your Frankie?
And how about some wonderful Frankenberry cereal with oodles and oodles of strawberry-flavored marshmallows? And
Frankenberry is part of this good, nutritious breakfast.
Here comes our jocular. Wish you could stay. How about a monster for breakfast today?
Come to the honeycomb hideout.
I'm Big Marley, the Jungle Queen, and I want a big cereal.
Honeycomb's big. It's got a big bite.
Toast honeycomb cereal made with corn and oats is part of this nutritious breakfast.
Rice, heavy, meat,
they're roller posters in honeycomb.
Wow, what a great move.
How about this one?
I bet I can do that,
but not on roller skate.
Four different roller posters that hang together. One in each specially marked box of honeycomb cereal.
When I bite into a York, I get the sensation of being in the cool Swiss Alps. Just me and Gretchen facing the winter winds.
York, York, York.
Pure dark chocolate over cool, crisp mint. Get the sensation.
When I bite into a York, I get the sensation of being on a cool, brisk, very tall mountaintop with Lars, a very tall ski instructor.
York, York,
York, peppermint patty. Get the sensation.
The first dance, and who dance with me except Jeffrey Kaiser, the biggest nerd. Cheer up, you're drinking milk, and this is you in a few years.
Not with this brace face and gross hair.
Well, you're growing fast, and milk can help you get a great smile and gorgeous hair.
But my body, the only difference between me and the guys is this dress.
Hey, you can see we turned out just fine.
Who's that?
That's Jeffrey Kaiser.
Milk, it does a body good.
Oh, not again.
What you writing, Dad?
Mistakes.
You need a pen that erases.
The pens don't erase, dear.
Eraser made erases.
Erases? I don't believe it.
This is the ballpoint pen that does the unbelievable. Erases. The eraser made pen has a special patented ink that gives you time to erase mistakes this easily and eventually becomes permanent.
Eraser made, you're unbelievable.
Eraser made, the erasable pen from Paper Made.
How Scotty Henry's brother Roger eats a Reese's peanut butter cup.
This is my kid brother. He loves his Reese's, as you can see. But, well, he eats it real weird. How do you do that, Raj?
There's no wrong way.
Good.
To eat a Reese's.
Oh, or face the evil hook of Trap Jaw.
Trap Jaw, Battle Cat, and He-Man eat sold separately, string not included.
That hook won't stop He-Man. In Trap Jaw, we use his vicious claw.
Still no contest.
In Trap Jaw, we use his wicked laser.
Even a one-armed army can't stop He-Man and Battle Cat.
You win this time, He-Man.
Trap Jaw figure from the Masters of the Universe collection. He-Man and Battle Cat figures each sold separately. From Mattel.
Kit here was designed to do the impossible.
And I do.
But wait till you see this.
Trust Rider's Impossible.
The Knight Rider Impossible set takes on impossible angles and hangs tough. With all this twist and turn and track, this car does things even Kit can't do.
Now, wait a minute.
There's also the Kit computer headquarters to charge up and move out. Hey, Kit, this set is really something.
Don't get carried away.
The Knight Rider Impossible set
from LJN.
Savages attacking!
Once we take this missile silo,
we'll rule the world, General Warhawk.
We need Rambo!
Rambo, the force of freedom.
Here's a present, Haddock.
Wow! Rambo, behind you!
Warhawk!
Rambo, my sword.
Look out! You again!
Rambo, the force of freedom.
Get Rambo and General Warhawk with their battle action weapons, each sold separately.
Big match at my house.
I'll bring my guys. You have yours.
I've got Junkyard Dog.
It's World Wrestling Federation Superstars.
I've got Brutus Beefcake.
Here's Jordan Gamble Steel.
I've got Great Gamer Valentine.
Ricky the Dragon Steel.
Yeah, they're for real.
And Rowdy Rod Piper.
Can you tell the difference?
Yeah.
Wrestling Superstars. They're for real. Each sold separately from LJN.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we're back. Oh yeah.
Creepy, old, pedophile, disgusting, like, just ew, like...
Huh? Who you calling that, lady? Alright, we're back from our break. How's it going, everybody? Everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We're back. We'd like to talk about the dollhouse. Dollhouse. You know, there's like a little bit here where Topher was talking about how he could make people have telepathy and stuff. I thought that was interesting, and I was like, well, what is he talking about? And then it turns out that Echo is lactating where she can breastfeed a baby.
Yeah.
This whole episode is about her being a mother to a baby because this guy...
Then why weren't her boobs, like, enormously engorged with milk?
Well, this guy, his wife died, right? And she died, apparently, in childbirth, and he can't love his son because he's in mourning. So he gets the dollhouse to send him a lady to be a father for his... You know, mother for his son.
Yeah, that makes sense. About to say, I had to look
and
at you.
The reason she's breastfeeding, I guess, is because Topher wanted to see if he could do it, you know, because he wanted to do that. And the one thing I want to know, because, you know, Dollhouse is just an hour-long episode, but how long is she going to be, like, when a doll is rented or whatever they do, are they like, hey, I need her for a year? Do they do that? Or what? How long do they have them for? 48 hours?
I don't know if they do long, you know.
Because if she's going to bother to breastfeed the baby, you would think he would have her for a year or a couple of years, right? So yeah. That doesn't make any sense to me is what I'm saying. So, but eventually what happens is the guy is so secretive, like you can't go in this room and stuff, that of course she goes in there and it turns out there's pictures of this woman. Who is this? And it turns out it's his real wife who died, and that's the baby. That's the baby's mother, not Echo. So she's
baby mama.
So she hears him on the phone where he's like, we need to get rid of her and whatever. So he's trying to kill me. So she takes her baby and... So anyway, the whole thing turns out that even though her brain has been wiped, her maternal instincts are still there, and she wants to protect the baby, even though she doesn't even remember...
She's never been a mother.
Well, she doesn't remember the baby's name or anything. She just needs to go back and just protect the baby because her maternal instincts are still intact.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. Let's check this scene out,
she
guys.
She has residual memory.
What precisely was the last thing she said to you?
I'm telling you, I remember wiping her, and then my face exploded. That's it.
GPS has her heading.
Nate Jordan's house. She's going after the baby.
How can that be? You were supposed to have wiped her.
I did. I'm sure of it.
Are we looking at another composite event, Mr. Brink?
I don't think so. I think we're looking at a genius.
I'm not as comfy with you saying that as I thought I'd be.
Think about it. You changed her on a glandular level. Maybe her body was stronger than her brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The maternal instinct is the purest. It's too strong for a normal wipe. I outplayed myself. You
need those heavy-duty wipes.
It's like in chess.
Not like yeah. chess. Like I
always have
trouble
to use
in
the
pain
wet
because
wipes.
He didn't think it through.
Yeah,
she
like,
probably can't
when
even
I go
remember
to, like,
his name.
Chicken
she has to have him back. No matter what.
Oh, yeah,
perhaps
that's real greasy.
Totally. Or like a buffet or something.
I haven't learned.
Or like, do you guys eat like
barbecue wings?
Yeah, wings. Yeah. Totally.
So oh, yeah, like, hot wings? I gotta have a box of wipes or it's just not... I'm just not going to get any progress down there.
So I'm going to say, I don't know about Dollhouse. Sometimes
I would have to say Dollhouse right now is about as entertaining as having
Heroes?
To wipe a lot.
I don't know why, but I was a little entertained at her saying, give me my baby, and them dragging her away.
Well, that like was just so stupid. Well, it was just like, wow.
I was just a sadistic part of me, like... Yeah, like take her.
Oh yeah, you want to see her in pain.
But here's the thing: this week, I'm hoping this next week is a total train wreck of entertainment because they have a serial killer they're dealing with. Like some guy's implanted. What's that guy's name? I forget his name from last season. He got his face cut up.
Victor.
Victor. Yeah. Good Lord. Victor is implanted with a serial killer for some reason. I'm sure that's going to turn out okay, right?
Nice.
Yeah. I just hope that. How do you say his name? Pinniquet?
Tamo.
Okay, I just hope he gets more of a role than just walking around looking like he's constipated.
Well, he's
he
always...
just has that. He has that like that frown that like he's just always pissed off. Like
he's very concerned about Echo, and he understands her. Why doesn't anybody else? Don't you see what she's going through here? And blah 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 blah. You know, it's just
yeah.
Like...
It's oh.
At first,
I did like seeing November.
November.
She's got gorgeous eyes, those gray eyes. Wow.
You know, I thought it was interesting that part to just see what, like, if they were going to make her come back or she wasn't really free from the dollhouse or whatever. But they showed that. Is that a congressman who got this information about the dollhouse? Do you think that's her
yeah.
giving that information?
Who knows?
I don't know.
No,
I just.
I'm not going to try to make any predictions on this show.
Yeah, I just want him to surprise us.
Yes.
Awesome. Let's talk about a show that does kick ass. I mean, it seems like, God, why are they covering shows that they don't seem to like? Hey, we do. It's called Fringe. Fringe is awesome.
Fringe is incredible.
From the beginning, when Olivia drinks worms, how cool was that?
I was going to mix it with strawberries.
Yeah, strawberries.
It's like, well, oh.
He's going to mix it with strawberries. And this episode is so cool because it deals with Olivia remembering what William Bell told her, right? And there's also the little bit with this woman who... what would you call her? Like, were they volunteers or a test subject for Walter back in her college days, right?
Right.
He'd pump her full of psychedelics, and she could see people who weren't of this world, right?
She
they kind of glow.
Well, they had like an aura to them.
Right. These shapeshifters or whatever. So in this clip here, I have the part where Olivia at the beginning, they explain why she's drinking worms, and then a little bit with William Bell. It's very interesting. Let's check it out.
Agent Dunham.
Walter, hey. So, you said you wanted to see me.
Oh, I had an idea. I think I may be able to help you retrieve your memories from the accident when you disappeared in the automobile in New York.
I remember that bit.
Of course you do.
Walter, I thought that we agreed to this.
I love that.
No, you decided. I still maintain that the picture is perfectly sound.
He wants you to eat worms.
Not just worms, flat worms. The thing is, Agent Dunham, I recalled an experiment that Belly and I did where we trained a handful of flatworms to respond to light and then crushed them up and fed them to other worms. It was Belly's idea.
Because who wouldn't think to do that?
The point is that these other worms, without having been trained, began to respond to light. It seems the first worms transferred their memories to the other worms through ingestion.
Right, but that still has nothing to do with stimulating Agent Dunham's memory.
How will we know unless we try? That's why it's called an experiment, Peter.
I know what an experiment
is. Archimedes never decided to take a bath. Mr. Porter.
She chugs the worms.
I'm going to mix them with strawberries.
Olivia, a war is coming. Just as we predicted, Walter and I, years ago. And we knew that we had to prepare a guardian. Someone to watch the gate.
Wait a second. Gate. What are you thinking when I was thinking,
between
Bill?
This side and yours.
Oh,
I would have to say
yeah.
Ours, because that's where I came from. But I'm afraid I would sound disingenuous.
Go on.
For reasons that will become clear in time, I cannot go back yet. Maybe not ever. But now we know how difficult it is to cross over. I can count on my hand the number of people who've done it safely. But on this side, they've become more insidious. They have designed hybrids. Part organic tissue, part machine, that can do things that humans can't. They can change shapes, taking the form of human beings. Over here, they call them the first wave.
So you're saying that these hybrids are already on our side?
I know it's difficult to grasp.
Oh, I can grasp it just fine.
You know what was cool here is when he gives a symbol to give to Nina Sharp, and she goes and gives it to her, and then they cut to Charlie visiting Astrid. He's like, "Where is everybody?" And he's like, "What is this thing?" She's like, "Oh, it's going to tell the face of the shapeshifter in a minute here."
Yeah.
So his idea is to send a text. Oh, by the way, she's like, I just got to mention this. She's like, "Is this the massive dynamic FTP server?" And she goes, "Yeah." And I was like,
FTP?
I upload the show via FTP.
Yeah, they're using a file transfer protocol server?
Yeah,
for...
it's like, mine looks nothing like that one. It's all fancy with a revolving photo, you know?
I don't understand why they had to do the whole FTP thing. Why not just say server or VPN?
Maybe they're...
You know, say the virtual private network. Don't do the FTP
maybe,
shit.
Well, it's possible it's just a high-tech FTP, I guess. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Massive dynamic high-tech. Did you like that guy, the lab guy? And he's like, "What, do you want me to reverse engineer this thing? Are you telling me this alien artifact that I'm supposed to? You'll have it in an hour or so." You know, he's just like flirting with Olivia.
Oh, the flirting was hilarious.
He's like, "I could send it right to your phone if you want. I could even send it to your computer." She's like, all right. But he tells her, Charlie tells her that Nina Sharp is the shapeshifter, to come and meet him right away. And of course, he's the shapeshifter. And I don't know about you, Bill, but weren't you happy that this was resolved in this episode? They didn't go like the whole season. And there was that cool scene where another shapeshifter is like, your body is growing too old, you're dying. But it's too late to find a new body because he didn't have his machine, I guess. You can't just pick up a new shapeshifter machine. It's like
each one is
your body,
right?
Yeah, adjusted to the frequency of that person.
Did you notice he had a Slusho drink when he went to buy all those thermometers?
Yes, he did.
He dumped out the Slusho and put all the mercury and then drank it. I thought that was so cool. And that whole
eye fixes itself. That was pretty cool.
The whole William Bell scene I thought was really cool, and him explaining what was going on. And he talked about the guardian at the gate. Like, Olivia was a guardian. One of the 12 guardians, I think, Bill, is what it is.
Yes, yes, exactly.
I'm sorry, but I'm just like, because a couple of episodes ago, she said something in Latin to Peter, and it had something to do with remember the name of your father or something like that.
Yes.
And
very Dark Tower-ish.
Very Dark Tower-ish. Remember the face of your father.
Even William Bell said, you know, he even referred to the building as the tower that he was in.
Yes. And then, you know, when he says a guardian to the gate, it made me think of one of the guardian of a portal or something.
Guardian to one of the 12 portals.
It's just really cool, you know. Because, you know, I know that J.J. Abrams and those guys, they have read the book, so
they've more than read the books. They are huge fans of the books.
Yeah, and it's just hard not to tie it in because it has to do with worlds that are similar, you know, like two different versions of our reality or multiple versions and all that kind of stuff. I noticed the Observer in this episode, and they did something really cool as they showed him out of focus right in the screen. It was they're focusing on Olivia coming out of the building in the way in the background, and he was up towards the camera, but he was blurred from from the back of the head. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool how they did that. Very sneaky. But after this episode, man, I thought it was a really good episode. What did you think, Bill?
It was really entertaining, and the way it ends with them finally finding the head that they wanted and the attaching it to a body.
You see the like tendrils attaching to the body, and then,
like the nerves growing and the blood vessels and all. It was so cool.
Eyes opened up. That was really cool. I wonder who that
is. I even liked the idea of a love interest for Walter. Like how he was mild. He was like a little kid. Like, I need money. I want to go with her. Is that okay?
Yeah, that was funny. And I guess like her voice, his voice, like the way he was comforting her and stuff. Like, she remembered how kind he was to her, even though they were doing experiments. Oh, and let's not forget about the part where she looks at Peter and sees like an aura over his head. And she's like, it's just the drugs messing with me, I guess. Because
I thought maybe he brought the Peter over from there, but I assume maybe he used a similar technology to, I don't know.
I think Peter is, I don't think he's any kind of like shape-shifting hybrid or anything. I just think he's the version of Peter from that other world that he brought over.
Or maybe he's like super special Peter. Maybe that's why he's so smart or something. Maybe there's something going on there.
He's a guardian as well.
Yes. Oh, there you go.
You're right. Awesome. That's what I love about the show. They don't give us all the answers, but they give us just enough where we have a lot of questions to ask, right?
I don't have the patience to actually spell out what they're doing at the breaks with the symbols. There are sites that do that. I just don't have the patience.
Oh, yeah, no, me neither. But at the very beginning when the guy was shooting the dude and the guy kept moving around, he's like, what the hell? So he finally shoots him in the head and it dropped him.
Yes, the cerebral cortex must be destroyed.
Didn't you love that, him discarding the heads? He would shave them and go, and just throw them.
Yeah, he'd look at them and just toss them. Like, isn't that the guy from 24?
Yeah. How'd you like to be a kid just playing around and going, I just found a bunch of heads in a field.
Hey, Joe Pesci will collect them and put them in a duffel bag.
Yeah, eight of them. Right?
Yes.
Awesome. So, hey, isn't David Spade in that?
That little goofy kid with problems.
Yes. Hey, Bill, have you ever seen that Simon Birch? A little goofy kid with a lot of problems.
Yeah, it is. He killed his best friend's mom with a baseball.
Yeah, how sad is that? Now let's talk about Top Top Chef. Hey, on that note.
Delicious.
Talk about severed heads, and we'll on to...
You know, I got to talk about right away, Bill, with the... this is all about a dinner party, right? And they split off into pairs. And this is one aspect of Top Chef that I know it just happens, but also gets on my nerves. The fact that their power cord went out. Their power socket went out where the dude's making the food. What was he making, like... I forget what he's making. Chicken? No, he's
no,
making
he was
scallops.
Making prosciutto wrapped halibut.
Okay, yeah, he's making fish. So he's like, you got to keep fish heated. You can't stop and then reheat it or whatever. And the guy, Tyler's Ultimate Kitchen or Ultimate Feast guy, he's like, well, you know, you can't. That's not an excuse. And the guy
wasn't. Yes, it is.
The guy, technically, I don't think he was making excuses. He was just telling them what happened. But he was like, if you have a restaurant, you can't do that. It's like, no, stop right there. If you have a your own restaurant, yes, you can do that. You can do whatever the hell you want. You can tell them, you know what? The power went out. I was making your fish. I don't want you to do that. I'm going to start over. Would you mind waiting? And they would go, sure. And you make something else. But on this show, they have time limits where they're just screwed. So don't give me that shit where in the real world. In the real world, that wouldn't happen.
That whole haughty attitude they have is...
They give you
annoying.
An appetizer for free to wait for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So don't give me that Tyler's Ultimate Feast guy. Whatever.
Yeah.
But the best part is that one guy, what's his name, Mike or something? The guy who's got the tattoos and he's got his hair sticks up way too much. And
oh, the Greek guy?
Yeah.
That looks like Ivan Reitman?
He's like, he's like, as long as I don't get Robin, I'll be fine. And of course, Robin is his...
Yeah.
Thing and
you know, I don't mind Robin. Yes, she talks way too much. She seems like a nice enough woman, but I think a lot of them are just way too hard on her.
She does seem like a genuinely nice person. It's not like she's a bitch or anything. They just like,
yeah, I think they're all just everyone's an asshole there. Like, she's interested enough to talk to you. If you don't want her talking to you, say, you know, hey, I appreciate your friendliness, but I just can't really talk right now.
I have a clip here, Bill, where it shows a little bit where she just won't shut up. And it's pretty funny. It reminded me of Daisy from Spaced. When she'll just start talking and she's like...
Skip to the end.
Skip to the end. Let's go ahead and check this out.
But it is a disaster in here. We made a good mess. So better than the campfire.
Yeah. Robin never shuts up, so I kind of just let her talk, and that's what she does the best, is talk.
A chickpea fritter was the first thing I thought of, and, you know, that I didn't see any chickpeas around. Oh, I didn't know. You know, I wanted to... It's just like, you have 2 seconds to think about it.
She thinks out loud. So if she sees a car going by, look at the car going by.
I'm
going
to eat this orange.
Or she thinks she has to...
Oh, my gosh.
I have to go to work today.
I mean, I got stuck on Indian flavors, and so in my brain, I kind of just muddled it. I felt like such an ass.
Wow. So she just never shuts up.
Yeah, I think it's maybe she wasn't always like that. Maybe once you like stare death in the face, you just kind of have to say everything just to get it out.
Right. And I never understood the whole, instead of talking shit about her behind her back, why don't you say, hey, I need to concentrate. Could you just tone it down with talking to me? I'm just trying to, you know, just kind of.
Yeah, I don't want to be rude, but. Yeah, you know, exactly. Like, handle the situation properly. Don't let it fester and let her annoy you.
Shut up. I hate her. It's like, hey, why don't you be a mature adult like the guys on Tool Academy and maybe just talk to her?
Chemical warfare.
Yeah, or, you know.
Drop a.
Pass wind, I guess.
Everybody there just seems very petty.
Bonfire.
Like, the Kevin was trying to be nice to one of the Voltaggio brothers, like, to ask him what's going down with his brother. What happened? Did you try the dish and all that? And he's like, why don't you just, you know, shut up until he comes back?
He's like, I don't want to talk about it right now. I'm sick of talking about other people's dishes.
Yeah,
right?
Just the way he said it was really kind of rude, and that Kevin was just kind of like, oh.
And
sorry.
And Kevin, he's been kicking ass the last couple of episodes.
Yeah, he's a talented guy, yeah.
I feel fine now.
Oh, well, good, Dave. And he was teamed up with, what's the girl, Jen, who was throwing up? I don't know about you guys, but if some So he's like, enjoy your meal. I'm sorry I've been sick all day and I've been throwing up, but here's your meal. It's like, I don't want to eat this.
She's like, funny. It's like, I find her attractive, but when she talks, she doesn't move her mouth. She's like one of those small mouth talkers.
She reminds me of Lavoine DeFazio.
She kind of mumbles.
Shlemiel Schlemazel.
Schlemazel.
Now that one guy, is his name Michael Vitaggio that you're talking about?
Yeah, there's Michael and Brian.
He's like, man, I'm going home. I can't believe, you know, I messed up that fish. And it's like, you are not going home, dude. There's no way they would get rid of you for this.
Well, that Ash, his partner, I mean, holy crap. That is quite possibly one of the most embarrassing judges' tables I've ever seen.
Like, yeah, he's like,
oh, so you were just second fiddle? Well, you know, when you're working with Picasso,
he's blowing smoke up his ass, but at the same time, he was making himself sound like he didn't really make any decisions. And
yeah,
I honestly thought he should have gone home based on that.
About to say, yeah, when they do stuff like that, it's like, if you had nothing to do with it, well then.
Yeah, he's like, well, he's really talented, and how could you say no to anything he said? So I just kind of, like, made the food. I was like a sous chef or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And you know what? The guy who was teamed up with Ashley, I thought he should have gone home, not Ashley.
Oh, yeah. He's the one that ruined her gnocchi.
Not only that, he ruined that, but he also refused to make the
spotted prawns.
Yeah, he refused to make the prawns because he couldn't make them right. So she had to do it. And, you know, I know she didn't cook them right. She undercooked them because she was so nervous about it. But still, he refused to make something. And also, he messed up the one meal she did make decent before he made it all salty. So
every time I see him, I think he's like a troll.
Well,
like, he's got no neck. He's short. He's fat. He's just like...
He looks like someone... He looks like a caricature drawing of somebody. Like, he has no neck. He's all squatty and stuff.
But he's also just very arrogant and nasty. He's the same one that made the comment about Robin, like, winning a quick fire. He's like, oh, so that's how you win. You just say you have cancer.
Right.
Like, I can't wait till the gay guy brings that up at the end.
You know how the other chick is Laverne DeFazio? He's a caricature of the Big Ragu from Laverne DeFazio.
The Big Ragu.
what was his whole name? I forget.
I can't even remember.
Ragusa. Carmine Ragusa.
Ragusa, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's keep this... keep this train moving. I love the Big Ragu.
I love the Carmine. The Big Ragu was arrested not long ago for, like, drunk driving or something.
No!
Did he start singing, you know, I go from rags to riches?
Say it ain't so.
But he looks nothing like he used to.
All right, let's talk about Smallville. Metallo. Because I guess I was like Brian Austin Green when we saw him on the footage for this week. I was like, is he Iron Man? What the hell? That's a wrong comic.
Iron Man.
Because I don't know who Metallo is. I read the comics. I don't remember him.
Yeah,
but
you
cannot tell me that his appearance on the show is ripped off of Iron Man, okay? He's got his heart replaced with a kryptonite. Of course, everything is made with kryptonite. But it's like in the cylinder that's exactly from Iron Man, am I right?
Kryptonite is the perfect element.
It serves everything on this show.
Yeah, that's what Tony Stark actually used.
I loved a little bit on my pizza, you know. So.
That's delicious.
It is delicious. There's nothing quite like kryptonite.
You know, one of my favorite parts here is when basically this guy, John Corbin, he's talking about like he's going to get the bottom of the blur, and then he steps into traffic to pick up a picture. He's laying in a pool of blood, and I mean a lot of blood.
I know.
That picture is floating in blood. Then all of a sudden he's been replaced. He's like got this thing on his chest, and he's got a robot arm, which I was like, cool, robot sounds. I need some of that for Dave the Robot. But he ends up going to the hospital, and Gaeta from Battlestar Galactica tells him this, and I thought it was pretty awesome. Let's check this out.
Mr. Hamilton, you are?
It's a nightmare. Look at me.
All right, who did this to you?
I don't know. I got hit by a truck, and when I woke up, this is me. What is it? What is all this?
Initial assessment, someone has surgically implanted a bionic matrix in you.
Oh, my!
Powered by
okay.
A fragment of meteor rock. So you
figured that all out just by looking at it.
I'm afraid
that's
not.
That's the doctor I...
They removed your heart.
No.
This apparatus is the only thing keeping you alive.
Oh, thank you. I gotta go.
Dude, knock it off. Come on.
And I love it. I had to have the glass break. But how much of a cliche is it in any... How many movies have you seen where it's like, no, don't put me to sleep, no sedatives, and they start freaking out or whatever? It happens in everything. Nobody wants to be sedated. I don't know about you. If I'm in the hospital, sedate me. Okay,
hey, look, I'm gonna take a nap.
I wonder if they keep like an extra supply of windows at that hospital.
I know. Clark, he has cut himself off from humanity, right? Because he's the blur now. But he keeps calling Lois because he's infatuated with her. And Chloe, she's feeling left out. And she's pissed off. If you're going to cut me out, you cut her out too, right?
Yeah.
So she goes searching after this robot man, right? Or Dave the Robot. Is he the guy who's she's looking for? I don't know.
Hope the kids would like it.
It wasn't Ragu, as in the big Ragu that she was looking for?
It could have been a cyborg big Ragu.
I'm feeling okay now.
But there's this part here that I think is brilliant, because he's talking to Chloe about how he's got to go find Lois. He got her into this mess. And she's like, well, you won't be able to stop him because he has a kryptonite heart. But he's not worried about that because of this one thing. And let's check it out. The whole episode this week was worth it for this line of dialogue.
Chloe, Lois has been kidnapped. I need your help.
Tell me this isn't because you let her chase down that sinister cyborg all by herself.
I told her not to get involved.
Clark, what did you think she was going to do? This is Lois. You know, she was just referring to herself as the Blur's sidekick.
I should have never called her in the first place, but I can't let anything happen to her now.
Well, Dr. Emil told me about this guy, and he said he has a kryptonite heart. Okay, you're not going to be able to get close enough to him to do anything about it.
Give me this. This is an EMP grenade. It'll blast an
awesome!
Device within 50 yards.
EMP grenade!
I'm hoping it'll stop him long enough for me to get Lois to safety.
Yeah, will it work against meteor rock?
It's a chance I'm willing to
take. I don't know.
Now, meteor rock is computer, right?
The best part of the whole episode is when he throws the EMP grenade, and it's this painstakingly slow bullet time. It's like
that wave.
It's like, all right, I'm looking at my watch here. How long is this thing going to be? It's like,
this is some great hang time.
And I like
here.
It shows a light bulb go. Like explodes. It's like, whoa, EMP, crazy.
Well, so it doesn't just short things out, it makes them explode.
Explode.
This is an EMP grenade.
Awesome. Well, if that's the
case, it's an electromagnetic pulse.
That's so cool. Because remember last season, Green Arrow had an EMP arrow. And he shoots it and it's like everything's
they
like
they got a new effect, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like I don't think it's even visible. I think it just goes off, and it's like, dude, my computer, what the hell? The lights went out.
My
it's
TV
not like,
work.
Like waves through the air, like we're
don't
going
press
through.
The delete button.
Like unplug the hard drive. Yeah. Clink. So anyway, awesome episode of Smallville, right? One thing I want to say about Smallville, you know, we always like make fun of Smallville. It's trying to entertain us every week, no matter how cheesy it is. Like, if you look at Heroes, where it's just, like, slower than molasses or Dollhouse, every scene is, everyone's whispering, it's quiet. Smallville, at least they're trying to entertain us with EMP grenades and shit like that, right?
And they're all encapsulated shows. It's over, done, forgotten, who cares?
But, yeah, I gotta hand it to Smallville. At least they want to just entertain us with some
I did like the,
silly stuff, you know?
The molten lead block on the chest, you know?
He's like, he's like, oh, I'll show you. I just ripped my heart out. And I love the Terminator kind of like pulling himself. You know, it's like.
I didn't know the other arm was mechanical, too.
And I love later, Tess Mercer's like, can we fix him, maybe do something else or whatever. And it's just like, oh, because...
essentially, he's like a computer. He's just offline.
Yeah. And who's this little weeny kid that she has working for him? You know, who is this guy?
A little goofy kid with problems.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, guys, let's talk about Entourage. It's the season finale of Entourage. And we all know that Doug Ellen saves the entire plot of the season for the finale. He's like, here, we can have a story now because now I'm not just stringing it out for a season, you know. You know, they had Ari. He takes over Malcolm McDowell's agency. And they had a little heart-to-heart where, you know, he tells Ari that, you know, he was feeling left out. He was feeling like he was useless. So he got rid of Ari, you know. It's kind of an ego thing, and he makes up to Ari, so therefore Ari makes up to Lloyd, and he makes him an agent. Wasn't that a sweet part? But what did you guys think about him walking around the agency with a paintball gun? It's like, if you get shot with a paintball, you're fired. While I thought it was funny, he would be facing lawsuits in the real world.
Yeah.
He's shooting them with...
people would be doubled over.
They would have welts on them. He's like going, you know, like just shooting.
I mean, yeah, he's plowing them with.
You know, like Lloyd is hiding, like, he's like, Lloyd, if you're in here. But we also have Turtle, who decides to fly to New Zealand. And I'm crying foul on this scene, Steven. You fly in airplanes all the time. He calls Jamie while he's on a plane to fly, 16-hour flight to New Zealand. He's like, I want to come see you. I want to be with you. She's like, no, you're not going to live here. It won't work out. It's a long-distance relationship. I want you to go live your life. If one day we get back together, then it was meant to be. All that bullshit, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, oh, shit, 16-hour flight. I'm going to fly there and just come back. I got to get out of here. So he's like, I got to get off the plane. And the steward's like, no, you can't get off the plane. He's like, what if I told you I had a bomb? She was like, you know, you would be under arrest. He's like, okay. So he goes back to his seat. No, that's not what happens. Am I right? If you say the word...
he said, what if I told you I had a bomb, they would arrest him and throw him in the bathroom.
Right, you don't just say bomb on an airplane.
No, not anymore.
Give me a break.
When guys start kidding around with stuff like that, I said, dude, I don't even talk about that, even in the airport beforehand.
Yeah, don't... yeah.
Like if you're in China, you don't say communism.
It's like, don't even joke about, you know, saying that.
Yeah,
I start looking around right then, and then I get up and walk away.
Kenny says it out loud. What if I told you I had a bomb? It's like, dude, you'd be in jail right now. No, that's not realistic or whatever.
So
but it is Entourage, by the way.
You don't know that the air marshal is on the board or not.
It's just a stupid scene.
But it is the true scene of him sitting between the two large women.
That happens.
Cranky and bitchy.
16-hour flight, and you don't even have any arm room or
anything.
I like that.
If there's an open seat, I'd like one. Oh, so would I.
Yeah. You think I want to sit next to your ass, Turtle? But also we have Vince and Johnny, and they're going to go to France, right? Or no, they're going to Italy to film the movie.
Yeah.
And, Johnny, you know, he quit the business, even the Melrose Place people. He has this very heart-rending audition, how he doesn't feel like he should have to audition for all he's been through, but he will do it for these gentlemen. And he doesn't get the part because he's too old, but they want to offer him a contract and come up with a show for him, like a starring vehicle on CBS or something.
Joey.
But meanwhile... the thing I thought was funny, you know, the thing I thought was the best thing about the show was Matt Damon guest stars on the show. And he's one of those celebrities who's talking about his charity.
He's all in a cause.
And he will not leave Vince alone about it. It's hilarious. He's really pushy. He kind of reminded me of Annie from The Apprentice. Remember how she was really pushy with people to donate money?
Yeah.
That's what he reminds me of. He won't leave him alone. But in the whole... Eric and Sloan stuff, I called it, I don't know, last season or whatever, the very first season episode of this season, that they'll end up together in the last episode. Come on. You know, it's just that whole she's mad at him, he wants to talk to her, he wants to be with her, and whatever. Just, I'm over that. But I came up with a little clip here of just Matt Damon, because he was the funniest thing about the show. Let's check it out, huh?
Thanks.
Welcome.
Hey.
What's up, man?
Daddy.
How's it going?
How you doing, buddy?
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
Johnny.
Listen, man, did you get this stuff that I sent over to Ari? It's the foundation that I'm working with. The 1x1 foundation. The kids' foundation.
Oh, yeah. No, it's at the house. I haven't had a chance to look at it.
You haven't looked at it yet?
No, I just, I've been busy.
With what?
Yeah, I'm doing the new Darabont movie.
Don't be afraid to get involved, Vince.
Oh, no, I'm not.
We're raising money for children all over the world. It's for kids.
Sounds good.
Kids desperately need it. It is good. You should look at it.
It is good.
I will.
Oh, you can look at it, too.
Yeah, I will, man.
I'll see you, man.
See you later.
It's for kids.
It's for kids. He's intense.
Ciao, Chase Residence.
Hey, it's Matt Damon.
Hey, Matt. It's Johnny. What can I do for you?
You can write a big check to the 1x1 Foundation.
Well, I'd love to, but my future's a little uncertain right now. I'm out of the business.
Were you in the business?
Yeah, I was on a hit show for 3 years.
What happened? They fired you?
No, I left by choice.
Well, listen, John, there are millions of helpless children with much, much bigger problems.
Well, yeah, of course.
All right, well, is Vince there? Did he look at the materials yet?
Hang on. It's Damon. He wants to know about that charity thing. Yeah, he must have slipped out, but I can see the brochures opened up here on the table.
Put him on the phone, John.
Okay. Sorry, Jason Bourne me.
Hey, Matt!
Jason Bourne me.
Just looking over the stuff.
Pretty moving shit, isn't it?
Very.
Okay, so can I count on you?
Yeah, just let me know what I can do.
Well, I'll tell you what you can do. We got some trips coming up to Cleveland, Ohio.
Feeding America, one of our partners, is running a food bank there. I need another celebrity to go with me to draw attention to the fact that 1 out of 6 American children, 1 out of 6 are food insecure. Do you even know what that means, Vince?
It means they don't know where their next meal is coming from.
1 out of 6 Americans.
It's fucking shameful.
Yeah, I'm leaving for Italy tomorrow.
You know what? For the American kids, let them starve. Have a good time on your vacation.
No, it's not a vacation. I'm working.
Get off your arse, Vince.
That's Bono, Vince.
Oh, hey, Bono.
You know, it doesn't take much to have a big effect here, Vince.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
When you're done with your Frank Darabont movie, I'm going to take you on a trip, okay?
Yeah, for sure.
In the near term, I would like a check.
Okay, for how much?
Do what's right, Vince.
Don't be a cheapskate, man.
Do it today, okay? Don't make me wait. I'm going to be waiting.
We'll both be waiting.
See you, Vince.
Wow. Turtle's going to meet us in Italy.
And then later on at the airport.
What say?
Is Damon coming?
Oh, Jesus. What the hell?
Unbelievable.
Hey, Maddie.
Yeah.
What, are you following me?
No. Pure coincidence. Told you I was going to Cleveland. You guys know LeBron? Gave up his vacation for the kids.
Hey, LeBron. Hey, big fan, man. Big fan.
Hey.
So, did you get the check I sent?
Yeah, I did.
Hope it was enough.
It wasn't.
You guys flying private to Italy, huh? Must be nice.
Yeah?
Good living.
And what are you guys doing here? Saving the geese from an untimely death?
We're on a charitable mission, John. The jet was donated by Marquis as well as the carbon offset. We're good.
Touche.
I want a big fucking check from you, Vince.
Yeah, how big?
Well, what are you making this year? 20 million? Ari told me 20 mil.
Yeah, give or take.
And you only gave 10 G's?
That is a little light, bro.
I didn't know it was appropriate. What did you give LeBron? I'll match it.
I gave 1 million, Vince.
Oh.
Send a buck 50.
Yeah, I was going to say 200, but that's good. That's good.
Yeah?
It's for the kids.
It's for the kids.
Done.
Good.
So that's the end of it till the very end of the episode. And then I love this. At the very end of the credits, it's Matt Damon again. And this I thought was totally hilarious. So let's check this out. And the reason we are is because it was the funniest thing on the show. Matt Damon had to come in to be funny on their show. Let's check it out.
Vince, this is Matt Damon. Listen, I just had a really disturbing phone call with the foundation. It's been a week. I'm in Haiti at the moment. I understand your check has not come. It has not come, Vince. Don't you push me, Vince. Don't push me. Send the check. You do what's right, Vince. You gave me your word. You gave LeBron your word. Let me tell you something, man. I never even thought you were a fucking good actor. I thought you were terrible. Everything Aquaman, Queens Boulevard, they stink. They fucking stink. I can't even believe that you have money to give to a foundation, but the fact is that you do, and you gave me your word that you would. So give me the check, Vince! I can't believe I have an Academy Award, and I'm calling you back! Again and again and again, you cocksucker! Send me the check! Hey, Vince, it's Matt. I'm sorry, buddy. That was really out of line, and I didn't mean that. I'm just a little tired, man, and I'm sorry.
He gives so much to his charity, he's exhausted, I guess. I loved him bursting into tears. That was great. That was awesome. So I was like, oh, man, but you know what? You're not off the hook, Doug Allen, because all he did is he came in there, and that was probably all improv.
Episode doesn't make a show.
Yeah. This show is a mess, man. I mean, seriously.
Maybe Doug Allen should stop having fights with Seth Rogen and start writing episodes.
I want Doug Allen to go to Heroes and Tim Kring to come to Entourage.
Wow. Wow, actually make shows worse.
Big King Arab.
He's a new agent next season. Master Blaster.
No, but he rides around on Blaster.
Who'll run Gold Agency?
Everybody's like, well, I'm not sure which one to talk to.
Think what to do.
Exactly.
Me,
what would
agent.
Sorry, Jason bored me.
All right, Bill, you ready to do some news?
Let's do some news.
Let's do it!
So give me the truck, Vince!
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
All right, a Ukrainian man got his arm stuck fishing money out of a public toilet. It took rescuers 3 hours to release the man whose arm got stuck. When he tried to retrieve the money he dropped, the 47-year-old tried to make a diving catch when his 24 U.S. dollars fell into a public toilet.
Whoa.
In the northern Ukrainian city of Chernigov, in his efforts to rescue the cash, he got his arm hopelessly stuck up to his elbow. Holy crap!
24 U.S. dollars. I thought the dollar wasn't worth as much these days. Why was it so important?
Well, 24 U.S. dollars is actually worth 200 Hivernias, which is what the Ukrainian dollar is. Hiverna. So we are actually still worth something.
Oh, cool.
The emergency workers removed tiles, drilled a toilet out of the concrete floor, cut the outlet pipe, but the man's arm remained trapped in the chute. They had to bring in the jaws of life and a plumber's torch to finally cut the man free from the toilet.
Holy shit. That's an all-day affair, man.
I mean, holy crap. I hope he got his money.
That little goofy kid with problems.
I guess they tried to save the toilet, but
he could have got it out really easily. He just wouldn't let go.
Yeah, he was complete. The toilet was completely destroyed.
Just like a vending machine. Let go of the chips. No, I gotta go.
They're mine. If I let go, the trap door will come down.
Oh, man. I wonder how... I mean, if you dropped a... Wouldn't it fall just straight down and you just reach down and pick it up? I mean, was it some kind of weird industrial toilet
where...
Maybe
he slipped and fell.
Just like... Vroom, vroom.
Well, you know, there are those ones that are, like, attached to the wall that don't really have the...
Like a
the
urinal?
Typical... Yeah, it's kind of like whenever...
Oh, I know what you're talking about, yeah. Like a full toilet, but it's coming out of the wall.
Yeah, exactly. So the
what was he doing messing with his money while he's over the shitter anyway?
I don't know. Maybe, you know, he had it in his back pocket, and when he... I hope that there was nothing in there while he was trying to reach for it.
It's some tea!
Yeah, Mr. T wouldn't reach for $24.
Yeah, there's a log in there with your money. That money's gone.
All right, so chalk this one up to people who shouldn't use GPS. Driver's been fined after following the directions of a satellite navigation system, leading him to the edge of a massive cliff drop in West Yorkshire, England. Robert Jones, who's 43, appeared in the Calderdale Magistrates Court on Tuesday representing himself. Wasim Raja, the prosecutor, said the defendant was using a TomTom satellite navigation system. The defendant followed that system to the letter, so much so it led him up a lane clearly unsuitable for motor vehicles. The path was such it was not designed for use of motor vehicles, yet Mr. Jones slavishly continued to follow the sat-nav system to the point where his eyes and his brain must have been telling him otherwise, to such a degree he was not exercising proper control of the vehicle.
It does not compute.
Normally, like, the way my GPS works, I have a Garmin unit. It'll say, like, turn right about, I don't know, like 100 feet from the turn.
Right.
Or maybe 200 feet just to, you know, make yourself aware that your turn's coming up. So I guess this guy kind of actually, when it said turn right, he turned right. But there's a lot of people like that with these GPS units. You always hear somebody getting stuck somewhere or going somewhere they shouldn't because they listen to it.
They drive into a lake or something.
Well, it's pretty funny because I was out in California following my Garmin, and they had a new bridge put in. So I'm on the new bridge, and it's, you know, over, you know, 50 feet. So it looks like I'm driving across the water. My little dots there,
and it's like recalculating.
Yeah, it's like,
and then
that's the worst thing about Garmin units is just the loud, annoying recalculating. Anytime, like, if you're going somewhere and you know where you're going, but you have it in anyways, and you're taking a shortcut, and you make a turn that isn't on the route that it's specified, recalculating. It's like, oh yeah, I know.
Hey, what to do?
Yeah. All right, Salt Lake City. Man misses birth of his child after fondling the nurse.
Whoa. Oh.
Yes, police arrested a bountiful...
bonfire.
I guess it's Bountiful, Utah, but it's police arrested a bountiful man early Friday for allegedly groping a nurse who was helping a woman who was in labor with his baby.
You're looking at a genius.
Adam J. Manning, 30, brought a pregnant woman in labor to McKD Hospital around 3 a.m., do you know McKD Hospital?
Yeah, Steven? I just worked at it.
Oh, there you go.
Nice. You probably saw this guy and you didn't know who he was.
When a nurse came to assist the couple, Manning looked the nurse up and down and made an observation about her appearance. Gee, I wonder what that was. He makes a comment about how cute she looks.
What was this guy thinking about this for?
I know.
He's Mormon. He's looking for his next wife.
Oh. Yeah.
The nurse ignored Manning and continued helping the woman in labor who was in a wheelchair and waiting to be taken to a delivery room. Manning continued his pursuit of the nurse. However, by telling her something looked wrong with her neck, Draper said. Who's Draper?
She's got a great rack.
Von Draper? Okay, Ogden Police Lieutenant Draper said he attempted to massage the nurse's neck, then reached out and grabbed her breast.
You look really tense.
Dude is slick. You need some sexual healing.
Your breasts look really stressed out right now.
So they look a little too firm. Let me massage it.
I still don't get it.
The nurse pushed Manning away and moved to the other side of the wheelchair. She reported the incident to police, who arrested Manning on suspicion of felony forcible sexual abuse. He's being held in Weber County Jail.
Whoa.
It's unclear whether the woman in labor was married to Manning or if she was a girlfriend. She gave birth to the baby after Manning's arrest.
Yeah.
That's amazing that somebody would, that would actually go through someone's head.
Yeah. I mean, when... you think when you're about to have a child, maybe it wasn't his child, he didn't really care that much, I don't know. Must touch those now!
Two people charged with operating an interstate prostitution ring that drew clients to hotel rooms, supposedly being used by a bogus airline, have pleaded guilty. So they actually created a bogus airline to say they were prostitutes? What? Marina Sedlak, 40, and Kelly Kaler, 23, both pleaded guilty to transporting and causing the transportation of interstate commerce with the intent that the individual engage in prostitution, persuading and enticing an individual to engage in interstate travel for the purpose of prostitution and conspiracy. So that means they were using the highway to, I don't know.
And then my face exploded.
That's a whole lot of Jabberwocky right there. I have no idea what the hell that means. All I hear is prostitution. They face up to 35 years in prison and $750,000 in fines. The third person who was charged, Roger Sedlak, 47, pleaded not guilty. So they advertised on the internet in January 2007 and drew women from several states interested in working for diamond escorts. Oh, that sounds appropriate. The women who applied were required to have sex with Roger Sedlak, who rated their performance and determined their willingness to work as prostitutes and engage in various sex acts. Shit, I need to start this company.
Rack of lamb.
Whoa, that's illegal.
Yeah, no shit. Sedlak then masqueraded as an executive of a non-existent airline and rented rooms under the guise of an airline business when the rooms were actually being used as meeting points for the prostitutes and the clients. Okay, now I get it. So he brought women to be prostitutes and then sold the women under the guise of a airline.
Oh.
That's like a scumbag move.
That is kind of a scumbag move.
Good call, Dave.
All right.
You are very talented.
Thank you. A gay man tried to poison his lesbian neighbors by putting slug pellets into their curry after he was accused of kidnapping their three-legged cat.
What the hell's a slug pellet?
You know, you put them in, like, the yard and they kill the slugs.
Yeah, it's totally gay.
Oh, it's a six-legged cat, did you say?
A three-legged cat. But the six-legged cat would be
way
scary.
More
their cat named Musty.
Named Musty, and they have a snake named Ermot. Gary Stewart, 37, had been at the loggerheads with Maureen Walton and Beverly Sales for months. But things looked brighter when he made a peace offering of some curry, claiming he had ordered too much from the Indian takeaway.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'll be the hostess since I'm the best hostess.
Yes. I've got some curry.
I'm the hostess, guys.
I ordered too much.
My old sausage, I'm sorry to say.
Weird.
Okay, so when the women started to eat, they found the curry studded with slug pellets. They called the police.
This is such a funny combination of words, slug pellets.
Yeah.
I guess maybe he should have tried to dissolve them first.
Could you load up, like, say, a shotgun shell with slug pellets?
Sure. Yeah, why not?
That'd be awesome.
You could load a shotgun shell with just about anything. I'd load it with, like, cheese.
Yeah, we learned on the burn notice you could load it with water. How cool is that?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Holy water, blessed shells with water in them, shoot holy water. That'd be awesome, wouldn't
dude,
it?
Dude, that would be awesome.
Totally rock.
Vampires wouldn't know what hit them.
Or like...
This is an EMP grenade.
Yeah! An EMP shotgun shell.
Holy grenade.
Holy grenade.
Whoa, that's like triple threat.
We implanted a bionic matrix in you.
Oh, okay.
All right, so now this guy denies the fact that he tried to kill them. That's not going to work, I don't think.
It was just a joke.
Yeah, it was just a joke, you guys.
He's really flaming.
So, again, they said that he's even alleged to have kidnapped their three-legged cat, Amber, and dumped her in a village miles away. The cat was eventually found after posters were put up with her photograph, and she was found being cared for by a woman who had taken her in.
It's insulting.
This just continues. This is amazing.
That's so gay.
It's become very vindictive, I guess.
What's this
dude's
problem?
I thought, you know, lesbians and gays were friendly. I don't understand why they hate each other so much.
Not at all, man. Apparently.
It's insulting.
It is.
All right, if you live in Sioux City, Iowa, and you've never seen this clown in the circus, animal control officers in Sioux City, Iowa say someone dressed a dead deer in a clown suit and a wig and put it on a family's porch.
I think we're looking at a genius.
Awesome.
Officers suspect it was a prank, considering Halloween is approaching, but they say it's not funny, safe, or acceptable.
Whoa.
The deer was discovered Wednesday morning. Animal control officer Jake Appel says leaving a dead animal is immature and illegal.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Especially, I mean, it's bad enough, like, say you leave a dead deer on your porch, but to dress it like a clown.
Dress it like a clown.
It's like, that's not only kind of creepy, but it's, like, confusing, too. Like, what is this supposed to mean? Like,
what is this supposed to mean?
I don't get it.
An Idaho woman has mistaken her own hearing aid for a milk dud.
A what?
A milk dud. Violet Bishop, 87, was tucked into bed with a box of milk duds, ready to watch Dancing with the Stars, when something went horribly wrong.
And then face exploded.
And yeah, that would be bad. In her words, as I enjoyed the chocolate
and the caramel taste, it appeared that one of my milk duds was not fresh as the others.
Gravitas.
One was rather crunchy, and I could not get it to soften up, no matter how hard I tried.
Finally, she removed the dud from her mouth.
Yeah,
she wanted to see what the problem was.
I found out.
Apparently, as she had shifted into position on her bed, a hearing aid had fallen out of her ear and dropped right into the little box of candies.
What? I can't hear you, but this is delicious.
What's that chewing sound I hear?
Why is it waxy?
It's such a loud chewing sound.
She wouldn't hear the sound.
No, just imagine.
No.
It's like just pretend.
A Bluetooth
hearing aid.
Yeah, it's a Bluetooth hearing aid. Like, what's that chewing sound? It's like, oh, my hearing aid's in my mouth.
Oh, I found out.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Well, okay, here's what I want to know about that. That gets into the news. That's
yes,
like something.
Exactly.
That's something I do, and I'm like, oh, I'm such a jackass. Put it back into my ear after I bump my mic really hard. Put it back into my ear, and then don't tell anybody about it.
I want to know is how the news got a hold of this story. Like, was she in bed that night? And went, oh, this is hilarious. I need to call the newspaper.
I need to call Reader's Digest.
I almost ate my own hearing aid.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Here's a...
it's Walter eating his hearing aid.
This is my favorite story of the week. A British dwarf, otherwise known as a midget, who was performing at the Edinburgh Festival, found his penis...
What?
...glued... dwarf penis... glued to a vacuum cleaner while preparing for a live show.
What the hell was he doing when that happened?
How do you find your penis glued to a vacuum cleaner?
Is it attached or?
Yeah. Is it a detachable penis? Daniel Blackner, known as Captain Dan the Demon Dwarf, performed at the Circus of Horrors, known for its oddball and offbeat performances. As part of the show, the dwarf pulls a Henry vacuum cleaner using a special attachment across the show attached to his penis.
Be King Arab!
Yes, you are. However, the vacuum cleaner was broken before a performance, and the performer placed extra strong glue on the attachment to fix it. Oh, that's smart.
Yup, and Jesus!
Yeah, totally.
Neglecting to wait the entire 20 minutes required for the glue to dry, which resulted in his peni becoming glued to the vacuum cleaner.
Is that a word? Peanut?
No, I just made it up.
Nice.
It's what you call a dwarf penis, a peni, because it's smaller. There's no S. After being rushed to the A&E department of Edinburgh Royal Infirmary.
It's in poor taste.
Pete, Blackner, what to do?
Blackner was freed after an hour and remarked that it was the most embarrassing moment of his life when he got wheeled into a packed emergency room with a vacuum attached to his penis. I just wished the ground could swallow me up. Luckily, they saw me quickly, so the embarrassment was short-lived. Get it? Short-lived.
You know when
this guy does this for a living, and he's embarrassed that he got caught.
Yeah.
So you know when those ER people say they've seen it all? They really have, haven't they?
They really have seen it all.
They've seen a lot.
It's like, dude, you see the little guy with the vacuum? Oh, is again? God, how often is...
Again.
I actually saw this next story on my local news the other
night.
Tomato
juice.
And I watched the video online. It's pretty funny. Two thugs who attacked what they thought were a pair of transvestites. Well, they actually were a pair of transvestites. They picked on the wrong men when their intended victims turned out to be cage fighters.
Whoa.
On a night out in fancy dress.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dean Gardner, 19, and Jason Fender, 22, singled out the two men walking along a street in wigs, short skirts, and high heels. Bare-chested Gardner was caught on CCTV confronting one of the men in a pink wig, black skirt, and boob tube. Then, I guess a boob tube is like a tank top? I don't know. Then seen swinging a punch. But the other cage fighter wearing a sparkling black dress and matching long wig sprang to his friend's help, delivering two lightning-quick punches to the stunned yobs. The cage fighters were then seen teetering away in their high heels, stopping only to pick up a clutch bag they dropped. Gardner and Fender were dazed and seen staggering to their feet after their failed attack. The CCTV cameras followed the pair as they weaved along the Kingsway in Swansea, South Wales, before being arrested by police. The video is so funny because they, like, get up right in these guys' faces, and the one guy comes swinging around with his punch, just knocks this shirtless idiot on his ass.
Awesome.
And, I mean, he is out cold for a few seconds. He gets up and tries to walk away, and he's stumbling trying to find his footing. It's hilarious. While these two guys in drag just go walking off.
That's awesome. That reminds me, have you ever seen the video of the pimp and the prostitute arguing? And the dude walks over there, asks what the problem is, and the pimp dude gets all in his face. But it turns out it's a guy teaching a self-defense course. He's like some karate expert.
Oh, yeah.
He just goes, bam, one punch. The dude falls unconscious to the ground, and then he walks away. Awesome.
Awesome. All right, and
that's
news for this week.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week. Awesome.
Yeah, not DVDs, the news.
A little goofy kid with problems.
I'll say. You know what? Don't pick on drag queens who have muscles, right?
No.
Close the goddamn door.
You have a robot?
Awesome. Hey, that's our cue to do the DVDs!
Let's do some DVDs!
HD, Blu-ray, Santa Furnace, John! DVDs!
It's okay, man.
Oh, poor guy. We really upset him with the DVD song, didn't we?
My little goofy kid with problems.
I'll say. Now, Bill, what do we got in the DVDs this week, huh?
Not a whole lot, but let's start it off with the most important. Drag Me to Hell, unrated director's cut on DVD and Blu-ray.
Awesome.
I couldn't tell you what the difference is, or I'll definitely just tell you to buy it, because it's awesome.
It's awesome.
A great, great movie.
And I heard there's a lot of jumps in it.
Yeah.
My dad, who has watched every bad horror movie in the world, and I've even heard him complain that nothing scares him anymore. He said that he jumped like a, just like a little girl during the whole movie. He kept jumping.
This is one of those movies that leaves you incredibly unsettled. Like, just like, whoa. Yeah. So whoa. I don't watch it at night with the lights off.
Watch it. So I should watch it during the day with the drapes open, like sunlight.
Yes. Yeah. Let the sunlight, you know, just fill up the room.
Don't let there be any shadows in the room at all.
You honestly, you might not even want to watch it by yourself.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Watch it with your wife.
Oh, there's no way in hell she'd watch that.
Whoa.
She stopped watching scary movies after The Ring, so.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Steven, but, she comes out of the TV at the end. That's scary.
The only thing I wish is with The Ring, with the DVD, they should have made a, like, the phones ring in the rear channels at the end.
Yes,
like
there you go.
Babies in a bonfire.
They do at the end, the very end of the movie, remember? The very end of the movie during the credits,
it should've,
the phone rings.
But it wasn't as well placed as it should have been.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's a sound. Yeah, the sound design.
You're saying it should have happened like in the right channel,
in
where
one
you
channel,
think it's your,
like it's your own phone.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Hello. Wrong number.
I thought that was the only one thing. My one critique about. Otherwise,
I like the original. I don't want to sound like a snob, but I definitely like the original Japanese version better than the, hello?
Steven, don't answer that.
But it's the DVDs.
Oh.
Speaking of DVDs, the next is Flashpoint, the first season. The
oh, I like that show.
The show with Enrico Calatoni.
He needs to open a pizza place with that name.
He does, and Amy Jo Johnson, who's still cute as hell.
Yeah, totally. That show, it's like SWAT team in Toronto, and the one thing when I'm watching the show, I was like, is Toronto really this bad with crime? Holy crap, people will always be taken hostage on the show. It's really scary.
Call that a dirty bomb where I'm from.
Oh.
A dirty bomb?
Yikes.
So it's like nuclear?
Like a pile of babies in a bonfire.
All right, next DVD is Futurama, the complete collection. I've seen bits and pieces of the show. I might even own the first season, but I was never that big of a fan.
Yeah,
I've got the first four. Yeah.
I love Futurama, but you know what? I've severely lost touch with it. I don't think I've seen any of the movies that have come out or anything like that. The DVDs.
The complete collection comes in a Bender's head.
Oh. Nice.
So it looks kind of cool, actually.
I always loved the episode that was like Willy Wonka. Oh,
yes.
The Grunkalunkas.
The Grunkalunkas.
The Grunkalunkas.
I love when he's like, what are those foul creatures? Those are the Grunkalunkas. Tell them I hate them. I always love that.
They produce the Slurm.
The Slurm Cola?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Tell them I hate them.
All right, here's a next DVD. I don't even know if I've ever seen this, but it looks incredibly familiar. A 1981 horror film called Happy Birthday to Me, where the guy on the cover has like a shish kebab.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's going into his mouth like he's getting stabbed with it.
I've totally seen that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I have too, but it just...
Happy birthday to me.
I remember that... trailer for
just think
it
what
there.
A way to go shishing a bomb right in the mouth. There's so many bad horror movies in the 80s though, you get them all confused with each other.
So not only is it painful, it's deliciously painful.
Yeah, it's like, god, this sure is tasty, but and he's dead.
It tastes so good.
Yeah, that would be a great final line.
Deliciously evil.
But I guess it's in his mouth, so he's like,
I wish I could chew it. Next DVD is Land of the Lost, the Will Ferrell, Danny McBride, Anna Friel film version on DVD and Blu-ray. I watched it. That's about all I have to say for it.
You're a f***ing sausage.
I watched it.
Did it make you laugh at any part?
Once.
I'm thinking year one in Land of the Lost, double feature. Like,
that would be painful.
That's like I said.
I did enjoy looking at Anna Friel the entire movie in like short shorts. And the Chaka character is actually quite funny. But it's not really that funny. I love the cover of it says, "Laugh out loud funny." Colin Covert, Minneapolis Star Tribune. All right, so he's an asshole.
He laughed out loud at it, I guess.
Yeah, I bet he did. But it's really not very good at all. There's
it warms your ass. Wonderful. Have you tried it?
Maybe two or three laughs.
Again, nothing. A movie that I will watch on HBO one day. You know.
Yeah. Here's a series on DVD that my father got obsessed with: Legend of the Seeker, the complete first season. I never watched any of it, but he kept going, "Dude, you need to watch this. It's cool."
It is pretty cool. Is it on Blu-ray?
No.
Oh, you can watch it in HD on Netflix.
Yeah, that's what he watched it on.
Awesome.
All right, next DVDs. Let me switch my page here. All right. Need your Ian McKellen picks? Why not pick up Lovejoy, the complete series?
Awesome. Swearingen.
Swearingen, cocksucker. So, yeah, I remember watching Lovejoy on, like, A&E when it was a real, like, the hoity-toity channel. Oh, it's A&E. Oh, it's an entertainment.
What is Lovejoy exactly? What is it about?
I believe Lovejoy was an investigator. It was like a British.
Is he a cop? A copper? A detective?
He was a detective. Yeah, Detective Lovejoy, or whatever the hell they have over there.
Inspector
Lovejoy at your service.
Oh, you know what? I'm reading this here. I'm totally off. I'm like miserably, terribly off. Lovejoy is a TV series about the adventures of Lovejoy. Oh, no shit, really? A British antiques dealer.
Hey, he's not a cop.
He's not even a cop? Who the hell watches this shit? A British antiques dealer based in East Anglia whose scruples are not always the highest.
I felt like such an ass.
They're based on novels, and
he's a cheeky British chap.
He's a cheeky bastard.
My whole life depends on this.
So he liked to drink, and he was kind of an asshole. So there you go.
That's like a scumbag move.
So he wasn't a detective. He was an antique dealer.
God, I wish he was detective, though. I was ready to buy
it. Which is almost the same thing.
Detective,
antique
dealer.
Pinky, old, pedophile, disgusting, like, just ew, like.
I don't think that's what it's about either.
I just can't see Ian McShane as a, an antique dealer.
No!
All right, moving on. The Marvel Animation 6-film DVD set. If you haven't picked up any of these, why not pick up this?
Awesome.
It's the Ultimate Avengers movie, which is actually pretty good. Ultimate Avengers 2, which I haven't seen. The Invincible Iron Man, which sucks ass. Doctor Strange, which is pretty good. Next Avengers, which is pretty good. And Hulk versus Wolverine and Thor, which
is not
bad.
The animation is not as good as the DC ones.
No, not at all.
They really
need
the
DC ones are incredible.
Yours just keep getting dirtier.
Huh? Yeah, they are. That one movie. You want to do this? You know, the DC one with all the heroes in it, Bill, what was it called again?
New Frontier.
New Frontier. The animation rocked in that.
Yeah.
And then you watch the Marvel ones, and it's like, not as good.
This next DVD catches my interest only because it's got Bronson Pinchot in it.
I love him.
And it's called Mr. Art Critic.
Mr. Art Critic.
Yeah, and he's known for his heartless commentaries, and he retreats to his cottage on the lake to clear his head. There he runs into a recent victim of one of his particularly nasty reviews and makes a drunken proclamation that any idiot can make art, followed by an impossible wager, and finds himself entered into the town's art festival. Oh, that sounds so charming. That's Bronson Pinchot crying about his...
Wait
career.
A second. Is this guy a detective, though?
No, he's
an inspector.
He's an inspector, yeah.
He's an art inspector, critic.
He's an art critic who's also an inspector.
A little goofy kid with problems.
If you were an actor, every role I would take would be a goofy kid with problems slash detective.
Slash detective.
Next DVD is Mr. Belvedere Season 3. Already have it pre-ordered. Have the first two seasons. Love me some Mr. Belvedere.
So weird being in this isolation.
I can watch that show now, and it's totally still relevant. It's funny. It's charming.
Wait. What do you mean by relevant?
It's not dated at all. I mean, it took place in the 80s, and sure, there's some of those... You know, special references. Episodes, whether it's AIDS or child molestation or whatever, but it's still, you know, it's not tacky or dated at all. It's really the writing is incredibly well done on the show.
Yeah,
and it's got Bob Uecker.
It does.
Whoa!
Bob
Uecker. Whatever happened to that dude? He's still around, right?
Oh, he's still alive. He's just...
So give me the fuck, Vince!
He's just old. All right, next DVD is The Proposal with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds on DVD and Blu-ray.
I've seen that. That has Guy Pearce in it. It's a Western.
You mean, isn't that The Proposition?
This is the remake in America.
Yeah, exactly. I would like Guy Pearce to show up and shoot both Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds.
He probably would, too, wouldn't he?
That would be a movie.
Oh, my God.
She does just such shit movies, and Ryan Reynolds is just pathetic. Bad, bad, bad. Maybe we should make Rick watch that.
Oh, don't do that to him.
No. We need to think of something
we give him
fun. He's watched enough bad stuff. We need to give him something fun.
I'm thinking Hard to Kill! Shit, I love the hell out of that movie, man.
All right, I know we've talked about this movie
do you remember
before.
Me, viejo?
And I'm so glad that Shout Factory is bringing it out. The Stepfather with Terry O'Quinn.
Holy shit.
Awesome! I've seen that. And they're remaking it now with the dude from that show, Steven.
Yeah.
About the plastic surgeons on FX.
Oh, that's right! Holy shit!
What's the show called?
Nip Tuck! I just saw a commercial for it. It didn't even register.
Yeah.
You remember me, viejo?
Yes, I remember you.
Yes.
You are an old man.
We implanted a bionic matrix in you.
Oh my God, get it out.
It's not working. Oh, wait a second. Is that what Dave works on? It's like he's got a bionic matrix inside him?
I think so.
Oh.
Nailed it.
My whole life depends on this.
Oh, that makes sense. On his bionic matrix.
And you just outed him. That's terrible.
That's like a scumbag move.
Oh, sorry, dude. I didn't know it.
Oh, and one last Blu-ray, actually. The Talking Heads Stop Making Sense.
Ooh. Chemical Warfare.
Which is an amazing, terrific concert film directed by Jonathan Demme.
Really?
And it's on Blu-ray, which kicks ass.
I've seen that True Stories.
It's got PCM stereo and DTS HD 5.1. So there you go. And an audio commentary by all four band members and director Jonathan Demme.
Interesting. I wonder if that's not very common on concert DVDs,
like
is
a
it?
Purchase to me.
No, it isn't. Yeah, it's a definite purchase. It's up there with one of the greatest concert films ever, as wow. Rolling Stone says.
Nice. Good to know. I didn't even know that.
So, and that's DVDs for this week.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And
this is an EMP grenade.
Oh no.
You're a genius.
Oh, poor guy. All right, everybody, that was episode 179 of Nowhere and Mulberry. Thank you for listening to the show. Go to nowhereandmulberry.com. You'll find a link to our forum. Also, send us an email at dimpodcast@gmail.com. You could also send, you know, a sound file to that for a voicemail on the show. Or you could call us and leave a voicemail at 1-206-202-3491. And if you're a member of the book club, or if you want to be, just look for the link there on our site also. All you got to do is read The Gunslinger, Drawing of the Three, The Wastelands, and Wizard in Glass to catch up with us. But you know what? The episodes will always be there for you, so you take your time. Right, Bill?
Exactly.
They could take their sweet time.
You're smart.
Well, thank you. I have my moments, little guy, but you know.
Think what to do.
I don't know. I'm trying to end the show, okay?
Be King Arab.
Yes, we got that. Did everyone get that on the show this week? Yes. Right. Now, Bill, I have no idea when we're going to do the Wizard in Glass show, whenever we're ready. I really want to listen to that Frank Muller audio of the book first.
Yeah, so do I.
I was so into this book, Bill. You guys know, based on like the other previous books, I took a whole month to read it. I would like stretch it out. This book, I was like absorbed in it, where I was just like page after, you know, just like... As they call
yeah,
it,
same here.
A page turner, Steven.
That's where the term came from.
Whoa.
My sleeping schedule's all screwed up because I would be up all night long reading the book.
Oh, man. There was a couple of days when I couldn't. I mean, I was busy doing stuff, and I couldn't read it, and it was driving me nuts. It was almost—it's almost like, you know, watching a movie, and you got to pause it and like leave for a whole day or 24
yeah.
hours, and. I gotta get back and
finish this movie.
So I can't wait to listen to the audiobook. I'm just gonna like lay in the dark and listen to it. And all clothing removed. I mean, what?
Hey, uh-huh. I was gonna say,
spilled tomato juice.
Yikes.
Whoa, what is that dude talking about? I don't smell like that.
Whoa.
Shut up. have you guys watched any, like, there's that Flash Forward show on ABC, everyone's like, it's the new Lost. I haven't even seen a single episode of it.
I watched the first episode, it was just painful.
Yeah, just, I don't want to, you know what, Bill, I recorded Stargate Universe last week, just because it's a space show and Battlestar Galactica.
Stargate Universe!
And it's got Bigby in it. So
yes, it does.
But I still haven't watched it. It's still on my DVR.
So as long as they get rid of the guy with the big Leo symbol over his forehead.
He's not on there.
Yeah,
you're idea. Racist, Steven.
Yeah, wow, Steven.
No, I said the Leo symbol. It's just weird to see that.
You know what that Leo symbol
that
represents?
Black.
I'm a Leo.
What? You hate
you're
your
You're just digging your hole deeper,
You're a self-hating Leo, Steven.
I just think it's weird. Because he started off bald and then he decided he wanted to grow his hair out.
Is that a plot hole or
something? I don't know what it is. It's just weird to me.
Oh, Steven's getting all upset. I don't know.
Steven, here's what we're going to do.
So he can look more human.
We're going to watch the first Stargate movie. Then we're going to watch every box set of every single season of every series to catch up to.
Does that box set come with a gun?
How many friggin' seasons of this shit have there been? Do you guys know?
Well, are you counting the Stargate Atlantis, you know, and
yes,
the other one too?
All everything.
Holy cow, who knows? Too many.
Wow. All right, well, on that note, before we go, Bill, remember we put a shout out. We wanted people to really leave us feedback on the forum. We had new members on the forum this week. We had people showing us the love, wouldn't you say, Bill?
Yeah, it was kind of shocking. Like, I didn't know what to do.
Steven, your friend that you wanted to listen to the show, she joined. Everybody's joining up, and I want...
she made one entire post in caps, and I was, like, reading it like she was screaming. I was cracking up.
That's what's so funny about the, you know, the all caps thing. You know, I've made a post on Facebook, like, all caps, it means you're screaming! Isn't it funny? It's just capital letters, but just by reading this, I'm yelling! You know, it's just
so
kind of funny.
I whisper all the time, because I always... I don't...
Everything's lowercase.
I don't... type in uppercase at hardly
Wait,
ever.
You're like E.E. Cummings.
Yes.
I'm like Cormac McCarthy, no punctuation.
I just type fast so I don't want to sit there and...
You know what, guys? I'm going to write an entire book, a cross between E.E. Cummings and Cormac McCarthy. All lowercase, no
all
punctuation.
All lowercase, there you go.
Yeah, and everything will rhyme, every sentence. Oh, I don't know.
I also thought it was funny that one of them makes a post about Bad Ronald on the Warner Archive. Didn't we talk about that on the show? He's like, well, Bad Ronald on DVD. I'm like, yeah.
Well, you know, we talked about Bad Ronald a lot on the show, but maybe it was just something that got kind of mentioned. You never know. But
I thought I brought it up that it was coming out on DVD and that I had already ordered it and all that.
It's possible, but, you know, everybody's not going to listen to every episode of the show, I would think.
Well, they should.
Or they might miss certain things, like they're at work
they're a week or two behind,
that part.
Yeah.
No,
that's no excuse.
But it's nice of somebody to let us know about it. But, yeah, we already knew about it, but still, it's very nice of them, Bill. Right?
Okay, fine.
Because they just, people...
They care?
Yeah, they bother to post and say stuff, so that's nice of them, I think.
Yes. Yes, it's something. I don't want to chase them off because we don't get that many.
And Bad Ronald is such a weirdo, too. I mean, it's not worth it.
I am not weird.
Oh, okay. Sorry. He is weird,
and there was somebody on the forum.
I am not weird.
I know I'm going to get it wrong, but was it Pro that said his birthday was coming up and he was going to watch Death Wish 3?
Yes, he's excited to watch Death Wish 3.
That cracked me up. Like, I can't wait till I get it from Netflix.
That's
going to
awesome.
Be awesome. Like,
nice
don't get too
gift.
Excited.
I don't know about you guys, but that sounds like the best birthday ever.
Oh, yeah. The best part about that music is that it comes from the scene where he goes into the room and sees blood all over that nail board he puts under the window.
No.
And he's like smiling and kind of giggling.
The funniest thing about that is it's Jimmy Page doing it.
Yeah, that's true too.
The guy, Misty Mountain Hop guy, did that? What?
What are those?
The Battle They're of
teeth.
Evermore?
It's a tooth. But hey, Pro, it's your birthday tomorrow, I believe, so this is for you.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Yes, but it doesn't end there.
Happy birthday to you.
Whoopi and Simon.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Ah, it never ends, does it?
Wow. Let the love continue.
How is your love life?
Oh, no.
All right, let's end the show. Bye, everybody. See you next week. Oh, he's sad. We're leaving. Poor little guy. We'll be back next week, Matt. It's okay.
Show's over. It's okay.
Babies in a bonfire.
Now this is podcasting.
Meet King Abraham.
My little goofy kid with problems.